Blog Talk Radio.
I had a dream the other night that, well, I didn't understand. A figure walked in through the mist with a flintlock in his hand. His clothes were torn and dirty as he stood there by my bed. He took off his three-cornered hat, and speaking low to me, he said, "We fought a revolution to secure our liberty. We wrote the Constitution as a shield from tyranny. For future generations, this legacy we gave. In this, the land of the free and home of the brave. The freedoms we secured for you, we'd hoped you'd always keep. But tyrants labored endlessly while your parents were asleep. Your freedom's gone, your courage lost, you're no more than a slave. In this, the land of the free and home of the brave. You buy permits to travel and permits to own a gun, permits to start a business or to build a place for one. On land that you believe you own, you pay a yearly rent, although you have no voice in saying how the money's spent. Your children must attend a school that doesn't educate, and your Christian values can't be taught according to the state. You read about the current news in a regulated press, and you pay a tax you do not owe to please the IRS. Your money is no longer made of silver nor of gold. You trade your wealth for paper so your life can be controlled. You pay for crimes that make our nation turn from God in shame. You've taken Satan's number. You've traded in your name. You've given government control to those who do you harm, so they could burn down churches and seize the family farm and keep our country deep in debt. Put men of God in jail. Harass your fellow countrymen while corrupted courts prevail. Your public servants don't uphold the solemn oaths they've sworn. And your daughters visit doctors so their children won't be born. Your leaders send artillery and guns to foreign shores and send your sons to slaughter fighting other people's wars. Can you regain the freedoms for which we fought and died? Or don't you have the courage or the faith to stand with pride? And are there no more values for which you'll fight to save? Or do you wish your children to live in fear and be a slave? O sons of the Republic, arise, take a stand. Defend the Constitution, the supreme law of the land. Preserve our great republic and each God-given right. And pray to God to keep the torch of freedom burning bright. As I awoke, he'd vanished in the mist from whence he came. His words were true. We are not free, but we have ourselves to blame. For even now, as tyrants trample each God-given right, we only watch and tremble, too afraid to stand and fight. If he stood by your bedside in a dream while you were asleep and wondered what remains of the freedoms he'd fought to keep, what would be your answer if he called out from the grave, "Is this still the land of the free and home of the brave?" God bless you, and God bless this republic.
Too many people in America fear their government, and the government is being run by too many powerful agencies like the IRS and others. I think it's time the people take the country back through their representative government.
Politician living on that hill, living in that life of luxury. Oh, we the people still don't have a clock of a tyranny. For if we don't, then who will do it for ourselves? And how about our children? What kind of future will we leave them? And if we won't, we'll wake up slaves on the global plantation, calling for a revolution, calling for it now. It doesn't seem our constitution, while we still got guys with guns in our hands. Calling for a revolution, calling for it now. It's time to save our constitution, while we still got the guns in our hands. While we still got the guns, still got the guns in our hands.
Good morning and welcome to the Jim Dunsing Show, featuring opinions so good they ought to be yours. It is September 13th, 2012, here as we begin the broadcast day on Freedomizer Radio, www.freedomizerradio.com. There is a lot of breaking news today. We have in Iraq some issues raising their head. We have, of course, the death in Libya. And there's a briefing here we're going to cover, which raises some questions from the senior administration officials, unnamed senior administration officials, giving a statement to the media. Not the sum total of the American people. Not the independent media, the controlled media. And we're going to start with it because it doesn't refer to anybody by name. And in the modern governmental era of plausible deniability politics, it's important that the people lying to us at least use their real name. So we're going to cover this. It's on the State Department website right now, a press briefing from senior administration official 1, 2, and 3, and some questions from the establishment media. Here we go. This was just yesterday, September 12, 2012, via teleconference. Senior administration official 1. Thank you, operator, and thanks to all of our journalists for joining us on this very, very difficult day. We thought it was important to give you a little bit more information about what we knew when we knew it to help shape your understanding of the tragic events in Benghazi. Here with me, I will hereafter be Senior Administration Official Number 1. That's title withheld. I also have with me Senior Administration Official 2. Hereafter, Senior Administration Official Number 2, and we also have Senior Administration Official 3, hereafter, Senior Administration Official Number 3. Now, you see, when they said this originally, they did not have brackets around the first instance of Senior Administration Official Number. They gave someone's actual name, which they then called. They gave the real names of the media. The media is just not giving it to us. They continue, let me just give you some framing points. It's not talking points anymore, it's framing points to frame the debate and the discussion. First of all, this is from unnamed sources who chose to remain anonymous while giving us developing information. First of all, we want to make clear that we are still here today operating within the confusion of first reports. Many details of what happened in Benghazi are still unknown or unclear. The account we're going to give you endeavors to reconstruct the events of last night to the best of our ability now. And again, this reflects our current accounting of events. These are first reports, and so the facts could very well change as we get a better understanding. Let me also give you a little better understanding. He hasn't given any understanding so far. Let me also give you a little better understanding about our office conditions in Benghazi. The facility that we are working in is an interim one. We originally acquired the property before the fall of Gaddafi. It includes a main building and several ancillary buildings. And then there was also an annex a little bit further away. So let me give you a little bit of the chronology, best of our knowledge. Again, the times are likely to change as it becomes a little more precise. But this is how we've been able to reconstruct what we have from yesterday. At approximately 4 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time yesterday, which was about 10 p.m. in Libya, the compound where our office is in Benghazi began taking fire from unidentified Libyan extremists. By about 4:15, that's standard time, that's 10:15 p.m. Libya time, the attackers gained access to the compound and began firing into the main building, setting it on fire. The Libyan Guard Force and our mission security personnel responded. At that time, there were three people inside the building: Ambassador Stevens, one of our regional security officers, and information management officer, Sean Smith. They became separated from each other due to the heavy, dark smoke while they were trying to evacuate the burning building. The regional security officer made it outside, and then he and other security personnel returned into the building, into the burning building, in an attempt to rescue Chris and Sean. At that time, they found Sean. He was already dead. And they pulled him from the building. They were unable, however, to locate Chris before they were driven from the building due to the heavy fire and smoke and the continuing small arms fire. Of course, initial reports we covered here yesterday on the show, the ambassador was taken to a hospital, according to those initial reports, not by Americans, but by Libyans, and was brought there, although no one officially knew he was the ambassador, to a hospital. He was there for an hour and a half or so before he died. According to the early reports yesterday, here we're reading the transcript of a briefing by senior administration officials, unnamed senior administration officials, on the events, updating us on the events in Libya. They continue here at about 4:45 our time here in Washington, which is 10:45 p.m. in Libya. U.S. security personnel assigned to the mission annex tried to regain the main building, but that group also took heavy fire and had to return to the mission annex. At about 11:20 Libya time, Libya security personnel made another attempt and at that time were unable to regain the main building, and they were able to secure it. At that time, they were able to regain the main building, and they were able to secure it. That's 11:20 Libya time, 5:20 Washington time. Then, due to continued small arms fire, they evacuated the rest of the personnel and safe havened them in the nearby annex. The mission annex that came under fire itself at around 6 o'clock Washington time, and that continued for about 2 hours. That's from midnight to 2 a.m. Libya time. It was during that time that two additional U.S. personnel were killed, and two more were wounded during that ongoing attack. at about 8:30 p.m. Byzantium time, 2 o'clock in the morning in Libya. Libyan security forces were able to assist us in regaining control of the situation. At some point in all of this, and frankly we do not know when, we believe that Ambassador Stevens got out of the building and was taken to a hospital in Benghazi. We do not have any information what his condition was at that time. His body was later returned to U.S. personnel at the Benghazi airport. We believe that Ambassador Stevens got out of the building and was taken to a hospital in Benghazi. We do not have any information what his condition was at that time. His body was later returned to U.S. personnel at the Benghazi airport. Later that evening, we were able to bring our chartered aircraft from Tripoli into Benghazi to evacuate all of our Benghazi personnel back to Tripoli. This evacuation, which had to occur in a couple of plane loads, included all of our American Benghazi personnel, including the 3 wounded and the remains of our fallen colleagues. They are now in the process, that same staff, of being evacuated to Germany. The staff that is going to stay in Europe on standby for a while, while we assess the security situation in the coming period. The wounded will be treated in Germany, and the remains will come home, and we'll advise you of when that will be as soon as we know. In the meantime, we have taken our embassy in Tripoli down to emergency staffing level. We have reduced the staff down to what we call emergency staffing level, and we have requested increased support from the Libyans while we assess the security situation. I would also like to advise you, remember, this is senior administration official one, so take that for what it's worth. I would also like to advise you that last night, all of our diplomatic posts around the world were ordered to review their security posture and to take all necessary steps to enhance it if those were deemed necessary. I'd like to now turn it over to senior administration official number 3 for some remarks on what his unnamed agency has been up to. Here, senior administration official number 3. Thank you, senior administration official number 1. Along with President Barack Hussein Obama de Mombasa and Secretary Clinton de Cattle Futures, de Fort Marcy Park, and Secretary Panetta de Oklahoma City, condemns the attack on the U.S. diplomatic facility in Benghazi in the strongest possible terms. The Secretary also extends his deepest sympathies to the families of the victims and to the entire State Department family. General Carter Ham, Commander, U.S. Africa Command, briefed the Secretary on the situation last night, and the Secretary has received regular updates since then. DOD is working closely with the White House and State Department to provide all necessary resources to support the security of U.S. personnel in Libya. This support includes a Marine Corps fleet anti-terrorism security team based out of Europe. The mission of this team is to secure the diplomatic facility in Tripoli, our embassy, and protect U.S. citizens as needed. DOD is also providing support to evacuate American personnel and casualties out of Libya. Those individuals and the remains of our fallen colleagues will arrive, if they haven't already done so, at Ramstein in Germany. In closing, let me just say that the Department of Defense is ready to respond with additional military measures as directed by President Barack Hussein Obama in Mombasa. Back to you, senior administration official number 1. Senior Administration Official Number 1 says, "Thanks very much, Senior Administration Official Number 3. We have unfortunately lost Senior Administration Official Number 2. He had to go off to another meeting. You can imagine how busy Senior Administration Official Number 2 has been. So why don't we go right to your questions? Operator, please take the first one." Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question in English, please press star, then 1 on your touch-tone phone. You will hear a tone, I'm not making this up, you will hear a tone indicating you have been placed in queue. You may remove yourself from queue, I wonder how you get this number, at any time by pressing the pound key. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up the handset before pressing the numbers. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then 1 at this time. And the first question is from Elise Levitt with somehow CNN got the number and apparently knows the names of unnamed senior administration officials, number 1, 2, and 3, even though very busy senior administration official number 2 was lost from the phone call. Question from CNN, Elise Lavin. Well, I have a couple of questions, if you would. And again, all of our condolences on what happened today. I was wondering if you could talk about now how I know Secretary Clinton said that this would not affect how the U.S. dealt with the Libyans, and that you would move forward, but certainly it must make you start to think about any precipitous rush to support groups in any other countries, such as Syria or the like, because of the uncertainty of who is on the ground. And then I was wondering if you could talk a little bit more about Chris Stevens' personal security and how his, that's the ambassador who made it to the hospital and then died, and how his personal detail could have been separated from him. I mean, his personal details, number one responsibility is to protect their package. And so it just seemed, I just would like more clarity on how he got out of the building and then went back to find him. Why didn't he just keep staying in the building looking for him? Thank you. Senior administration official number 1 says, "Let me start with the last question, the real question at least. I think you can understand that I'm not going to give you any detail. I'm not going to go into detail about how his security detail was organized. I think in the accounting that I gave, I made clear that security personnel were endeavoring to get him out of the building when they got separated by the incredibly thick smoke and fire. If you've seen the pictures from the building, you can have some sense of how awful the conditions were." Okay, I'm going to take a break here from this recounting because I saw some of the pictures during yesterday's show when I was describing them to you. One of them showed a man with a machine gun holding it in one hand above his head and doing some kind of a happy dance in a burning building. He was obviously able to be in the building for some time, as well as a photographer who was able to get a picture of him. And the flames in those kind of situations, if they're that thick and strong, don't normally go down to nothing. The article continues, "If you've seen the pictures from the building, you can have some sense of how awful the conditions were. And that they then turned right back around, got more help, and went back in to look for him. So this, apparently the new help had fire suits. So this was really quite a heroic effort. Almost always in official stories, when you're looking for the culprit, the one they claim to be the hero is a good place to start your investigation. They're not always the problem, but a lot of time in these official recountings, people who ran away from their responsibility and then came back later, are just given a certain title, like the Jerry Powers of the world, are given the title hero without really deserving. The unnamed senior administration official number one continues, with regard to your larger question, as the secretary said very clearly today, we are as committed today as we have ever been to a free and stable Libya. That is still in America's interest, and we are going to continue to work very strongly to help them have the future that they want and they deserve. I would simply note how quickly and how strongly senior members of the Libyan government came forward to condemn this attack, to offer all support to us. I'd also like to underscore that it was Libyan security forces that stood with ours in defending our buildings. We also had one of the local militias who is friendly to the embassy came to assist us as well. And I think that really speaks to the relationship that we've built with Libya. Thank you. Operator, the next question is from Arshad Mohammed with Reuters. Please go ahead. From Reuters, can you explain to us whether you know whether Ambassador Stevens was alive when he was removed and taken to the Libyan hospital or not? And secondly, there are suggestions that he died as a result of smoke inhalation. Do you know if that is indeed what his proximate cause of death was? Senior administration number one, administration official number one. Well, thank you, Arshad. Frankly, you know they're struggling for an answer when they thank them for the difficult question. Arshad, frankly, we are not clear on the circumstances between the time that he got separated from the rest of the group inside the burning building. Don't want to say from his security detail there, senior administration official number one, change mid-sentence from separate from his group to from the rest of the group inside the burning building, to the time that we were notified that he was in a Benghazi hospital. And again, we were not able to see him until his body was returned to us at the airport. You can imagine that we will not be able to say anything about the cause of death until we've had a chance to perform an autopsy, bury the body, see, and change our story two or three times. Operator Andrea Mitchell with NBC News is next. Please go ahead. This from Andrea Mitchell, so take that for what it's worth. Thank you for doing this, and especially at such a terrible time for all of you. The first two questions actually tried to get information. Let's see if Andrea Mitchell does here after that intro. Can you expand on the regular security for the ambassador? I know you don't usually talk about security, but you can imagine how people want these details now in terms of, was it diplomatic security? Were they all RSOs? How long have they been in Benghazi? Give us a little bit more information of his movements that day. And secondly, there's a lot of reporting now on this being linked to a terror attack, an organized terror attack, possibly al-Qaeda sympathetic or al-Qaeda linked. Can you speak to that? Senior Administration Official 3. Operator, is the call ongoing? Senior Administration Official number one. I'm sorry, it looks like I was on mute there for a while. I was going on and on mute. I apologize. So, Andrea, to your first question, frankly, we are not in a position to speak any further to the perpetrators of this attack. It was clearly a complex attack. We're going to have to do a full investigation. We are committed to working with the Libyans, both on the investigation and to ensure that we bring the perpetrators to justice. The FBI is already committed to assisting in that, but it's just too early to speak to who they were and if they might have been otherwise affiliated beyond Libya. With regard to Chris's trip to Benghazi, as you know, he made regular and frequent trips to Benghazi so that he could check up on development in the East. You know that he had been our representative, the secretary, the representative, and the president to the Transitional National Council before the fall of Gaddafi, and had spent a lot of time in Benghazi and built deep contacts there. So this was one of his regular visits that he made periodically. With regard to the security arrangement, I think you will understand that we never talk in detail about how our security is arranged, and we particularly do not talk about security arrangements for personal security arrangements for senior level personnel. What I can tell you is that security in Benghazi included a local guard force outside of the compound on which we rely, which is similar to the way we are postured all over the world. We had a physical perimeter barrier, obviously, and then we had a robust American security presence inside the compound, including a strong component of regional security officers, but I'm not going to go any further than that on the specifics. Next question, operator. Question, Josh Rogan with Foreign Policy is next. Please go ahead. Foreign Policy. Thank you very much. First, just one point of clarification. Can you tell us what time in the timeline that Ambassador Stevens was delivered to you at the airport? But the larger question is, do they all ask this question? They know he's not going to answer, and then ask a question they'd like him to answer because they know they're not going to get their first one answered. But the larger question is, you didn't talk at all about the protests. You started your timeline with that the firing began. Can you talk about the timeline of when the protests started, how that fit in with it, and your sense of whether or not the protesters and the assailants were the same? And the question for senior administration official number 3, I believe, who talked about the mission of the forces there. You said they were there to protect the embassy. Does that mean that, are you saying clearly that they will not be involved in the search for the perpetrators? Thank you. Senior administration official 1, with regard to when we gained possession of Ambassador Stevens' body, it was extremely late our time. I think it was already dawn in Libya, but I just don't have a precise time for you, Josh. With regards to the protests, I assume you're not talking about protests in Cairo, are you? You're talking about protests in Benghazi? Operator, he is back in the main conference. Senior administration official number 1. Okay, we frankly don't have a full picture of what may have been going on outside of the compound wall before the firing began, so I really just don't have any specifics on that at the moment. I apologize, says senior administration official number 1, for having no specifics. Next question from CNN, this time Jill Doherty. Thank you very much, senior administration official number 1. One thing that is not completely clear, and I don't know whether you can answer it at this point, there is some confusion about whether he, the ambassador, was directly targeted or whether he just happened to be there when this attack took place. Can you answer that? And then also, just one more point about the lack of clarity about what happened after he became separated and that his body was at the hospital. Do you know how he was transported? I mean, I think the secretary said Libyan took him to the hospital. Could you just try to clarify that? Senior administration official 1, on your first question, I really can't speak to it. We just are not in a position to say at the moment. Obviously, as we said, there's going to have to be a full investigation, and presumably some of these things will come to light. There are reports out there that I cannot confirm that he was brought to the hospital by Libyans who found him. Obviously, he had to get there somehow. No Americans were responsible for that. But again, I'm not in the position to confirm because we frankly don't know how he got from where Americans last saw him. And again, we were told that he was at the hospital, but we didn't see him there ourselves. I'm sorry if it's frustrating. senior administration official number three says, oh no, senior administration official number three was there, something from Josh that went to you that we didn't answer. Oh, I got it. Senior administration number three, was there something from Josh that went to you that we didn't answer? Then senior administration official number three says, yes, just briefly, and Josh, thanks for the question. The fleet's anti-terrorism security teams that we deploy when requested are responsible for the protection of embassy personnel and property, and they also play a role in the evacuation of personnel as required. On the second part of your question, whether or not U.S. military personnel will be involved in future operations to track down the perpetrators of this attack, I'm simply not going to speculate on what may or may not be in the works in the future. Back to you, senior administration official number one. Let's take the next one, operator. National Public Radio's Tom Bowman is next. Question, thanks for doing this. Listen, there have been troubles in Benghazi for some time now. I understand the consulate was attacked or bombed 2-3 months ago. The British have put out threat warnings about Benghazi. Was there any consideration before the attack yesterday of beefing up security there? And the other thing is, the head of diplomatic security at the consulate, as things started getting worse and worse there, the whole situation started going south. Did he try to get a quick reaction force of some kind from the U.S.? Did he believe the Libyan forces were sufficient? Did he do anything to try to get more help? Senior Administration Official 1, well, again, I'm not going to get into the specifics of how we were postured in terms of security at our mission in Benghazi beyond what I said. So because we don't ever talk about the details of those kinds of things, what I would say, though, is that we did, as we did in missions around the world, review the security there in the context of preparing for the anniversary of September 11th. And at that point, there was no information and there were no threat streams to indicate that we were insufficiently postured. Let's take the next one, operator. Justin Fischnell with Fox News. Please go ahead. Hi, thanks. I have two quick questions. Do you believe that this attack was in any way related to the incident in Cairo? You suggested this attack in Benghazi was more complex, so is it safe to rule out that this was a reaction to the inflammatory internet video? And second, the initial statement put out yesterday by the embassy in Cairo has become somewhat of a political issue, Romney accusing the administration of sympathizing with the attackers. Whether or not that's true, can you please tell us when that statement was released exactly? Was it released before or after the protest started? Was it released to stop any of the protesters from getting more violent? Please give us a timeline on that. We've been asking about that a lot today. Thank you. Senior State Department Official 1. Let me start with the last one first. With regard to the statement from Embassy Cairo, let me say unequivocally here that that statement was not coordinated with Washington and was therefore taken down. My understanding is that it was initially released at about noon Cairo time, which was before the protests in Cairo began. More broadly, the Secretary spoke to our view on this issue yesterday. She did it again today. Even as we stay true to our core principles and our core values, we condemn these attacks on our diplomatic mission. There is never any justification for violent acts of this kind. With regard to whether there is any connection between this internet activity and this extremist attack in Benghazi, frankly, we just don't know whether this has anything to do with the B-3 bomber. We're not going to know until we have a chance to investigate all ties to the B-3 bomber. And I'm sorry that it is frustrating for you that so many of your answers are we don't know, especially on such important issues as the B-3 bomber in their relation to the day's activity, but they are truthful in that. Let's continue, operator. The New York Times' Steve Myers is next. Thanks. I would add my condolences to everyone. Just a few follow-up questions. Do you know how many people, that is, American and Libyan, who were inside the compound when the attack began overall? And also, how many of them might have been wounded in addition to those who were killed? And you have not yet identified the two others, but you said one was, unless I misunderstood, a regional security officer, and the other two State Department employees. Are they Marines? Anything more, even if you can't identify them at this stage, about the other two? Senior Administration Official 1. Steve, at the moment, I have reports of three additional wounded on top of the four total who were killed. That report could also change. Frankly, I'm sorry about that. My understanding is that between the main compound and the annex, we had a total of about 25 to 30 people. But again, we never precisely size our diplomatic missions, as you know. I can't recall if there was another piece of that question. Anyway, operator, maybe you'll let him back if there was. Thanks. Operator, Julian Barnes with Dow Jones is next. Please go ahead. A question for Senior Administration Official Number 3. Is there any discussion of sending a FAST team to Egypt? And are there any warships near Libya or being sent to Libya as part of security? Senior Administration Official 3, not to be confused with Senior Administration Official Number 1, says, thanks, Julian. As you are aware, we don't typically talk about the prospect of future military operations one way or the other, or about the movement of assets that may or may not be used in the future. That's where I'd leave it. Operator Dina Temple with NPR is next. Dina Temple Raston with NPR says, Dina Temple, I'm wondering if you can tell us whether there was any specific recent intelligence indicating that there was going to be a threat against the consulate. Senior Administration Official 1, Dina, you won't be surprised if we decline to talk about our intelligence. Pretty much everyone that works for this administration should take that position and decline to talk about their intelligence. But his answer continues, I did speak a little bit earlier about our review of our security posture in advance of September 11th. Going back to Steve, I think, fully answer your question. I missed a piece. The remaining two, who also lost their lives, as the Secretary said, were State Department personnel. But we are still, even now, trying to work the next of kin notifications. So that's all I can give you at the moment. Let's take about three more, and then we're going to have to hop here. Go ahead, operator. Operator, Jim Michaels with USA Today is next. Question from Michael. Yeah, thanks for taking our calls. I just wanted to go back to an earlier question. Can you describe a little bit about the level of organization of this assault and how it was or was not related to an overall protest riot occurring about the same time? Senior Administration Official 1, I wish I could. Frankly, I've given you as much information as we are confident in at the moment. We will obviously know more in coming days and weeks as we secure our personnel, as we have a chance to talk to them, as we have a chance to interview Libyans who may have been with them. But frankly, that's as much as I've got at the moment. I'm sorry to frustrate you. Operator Margaret Brennan with CBS News. Hi, I would like to ask first any information as to when the bodies will be arriving in Landstuhl. Also, if you can describe for us how the operation was directed overnight. Was that an interagency effort out of state? How was that run? Senior Administration Official 1 says, with regards to the remains coming home, our hope is to do that as soon as possible, but we have some processing that is required. We will obviously be informing all of you when we have precise details about their return. It was very much an interagency effort while the violence was ongoing and in the aftermath and throughout the day to day, led in the usual way by the National Security Council with the participation of all of us. obviously the State Department, run by the former head of the CIA. Now, that's the Defense Department. The State Department's run by the head of the Fort Moxie Park operation. Obviously, the State Department had a huge piece of that, but all agencies, all relevant agencies, were involved. Jill Biddle with AFP is next. Thank you very much for doing the call. I wondered if I could just confirm with you the number of injured. Was it 3 or was it 4 in the end? And also, I wondered if I could ask, we're hearing that the Pentagon might have been in touch with Pastor Jones, asking him if he could withdraw his support for this video. Could you talk to that? Thank you. Senior Administration Official 1 says, I only have confirmed 3 wounded at the moment, but again, that is a first set of reports that may not be accurate. I do not think we have anything on Pastor Jones unless Senior Administration Official Number 3 has something to add. And, of course, Senior Administration Number 3 does. Thank you. I can confirm that the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs, General Martin Dempsey, spoke by phone this morning with Pastor Jones. This was a brief call-in which General Dempsey expressed his concerns over the nature of the film, the tensions it could inflame, and the violence it could cause, and he asked Mr. Jones to consider withdrawing his support for the film. Senior Administration Official 1, thank you. Let's take one last one, and then we're going to have to run off. The operator says, Washington Post via Karen DeYoung is next, and her question is this. Just to clarify, as you described, compound in the auxiliary building. Was that separate building outside of the perimeter of the compound, or is it all inside that perimeter that's secured, as you said, inside by U.S. officials? And secondly, just to once more clarify, and sorry to be obtuse about this, you have no idea whether Ambassador Stevens was alive when he was taken from or otherwise exited the building and taken to the hospital? And also, just to Senior Administration Official 3, could you say how Pastor Jones responded? Senior Administration Official 1, my understanding, and again, if this is not correct, we will correct the record, is that we have, as I said at the top, a main compound that includes the main building and several ancillary buildings, that there is also an annex further away, that both of those facilities had perimeters and had Libyan perimeter security. As I said with regards to Ambassador Chris Stevens, we just do not know. We have seen Libyan reports that when he was recovered and taken to the hospital, he was unconscious and he later passed, but we are not in a position to confirm those. So with that, I'm going to thank you all for joining us. We will, and then Senior Administration Official 3 jumps in. I think then Senior Administration Official 1, I'm sorry, Senior Administration Official Number 3. Yeah, to you, I'm sorry. Official Number 3. Yeah, that's okay. No problem. Karen, thanks. The chairman did have a brief call with Pastor Jones. Mr. Jones did hear the chairman's concerns, but he was noncommittal. Back to you, Senior Administration Official 1. Senior Administration Official 1 closed this by saying, okay, and sorry. Senior Administration Official 3, I jumped on you again. Thank you all for joining us this evening. We will commit ourselves to sharing what we can with you as more information develops in the coming days. I just want to again reiterate what I said at the top, that we are operating for the purposes of this backgrounder on first reports. We've all had the experience of first reports being inaccurate, so but this information we have given today, we are giving to the best of our knowledge at this time. Thank you all for joining us, and thank you to Senior Administration Official 3 as well. Good night. We'll be right back here on the Jim Dunstan Show featuring opinions so good they ought to be yours. The song in this break goes out to Senior Administration Official Number 2, who was smart enough to hang up his phone.
Man, you hear this bullshit they be talking every day, man. It's like these motherfuckers is just like professional liars, you know what I'm saying? Wow. Listen, Bin Laden blow up projects. It was your nigga. Tell the truth, nigga.
Push knock down the tower.
Tell the truth, nigga.
propaganda that they spit to the speakers. And if you speak about the evil that the government does, the Patriot Act to track you to the type of your blood. They try to frame you and say you was trying to sell drugs and throw a federal indictment on niggas to show you love. This shit is run by fake Christians, fake politicians. Look at their mansions and look at the conditions you live in. All they talk about is terrorism on television. They tell you to listen, but they don't really tell you their mission. They funded Al-Qaeda, and now they blame the Muslim religion. Even though Bin Laden was a CIA tactician, they gave him billions of dollars, and they funded his purpose. Fahrenheit 9/11, that's just scratching the surface.
Bin Laden didn't blow up the project. It was your nigga. Tell the truth, nigga.
Bush knocked down the tower.
Tell the truth, nigga.
Bush knocked down the tower.
Tell the truth, nigga. Bin Laden didn't blow up the project. It was your nigga. Tell the truth, nigga.
Bush knocked down the tower.
Tell the truth, nigga.
Bush knocked down the tower.
They say the rebels in Iraq still fight with Saddam, but that's bullshit. I'll show you why it's totally wrong. Cause if another country invaded the hood tonight, it'd be warfare through Harlem and Washington Heights. I wouldn't be fighting for Bush or white America's dream. I'd be fighting for my people's survival and self-esteem. I wouldn't fight for racist churches from the South, my nigga. I'd be fighting to keep the occupation out, my nigga. You ever clock someone who talks shit for looking you wrong? Imagine if they shot at you and was raping your moms. And of course Saddam Hussein had chemical weapons. We sold them that shit after Ronald Reagan's election. Mercenary contractors fighting a new era. Corporate military banking off the war on terror. They controlling the ghetto with the fear of attack. Trying to distract the fact that they engineering the crack. So I'm strapped like Lee Malvo holding a sniper rifle. These bullets will touch your kids. And I don't mean like Michael. Your body be sent to the morgue, stripped down and recycled. I fire on house niggas that support you and like you. Cause innocent people get murdered in the struggle daily. And poor people never get shit and struggle daily. This ain't no alien conspiracy theory. This shit is real. Written on a dollar underneath the Masonic seal.
Y'all don't rap for dead presidents. I'd rather see the president dead. Never been said, but I set precedents.
Bin Laden didn't blow up the project. It was your nigga. Tell the truth, nigga.
Bush knocked down the tower.
Tell the truth, nigga.
Bush knocked down the tower.
Tell the truth, nigga. Bin Laden didn't blow up the project. It was your nigga. Tell the truth, nigga.
And welcome back to the Jim Dunzig Show, featuring opinions so good they ought to be yours. Here as we begin the broadcast day on Freedomizer Radio, www.freedomizerradio.com. A lot of news to cover, very little time to do it. We're going to hit the high point here to get you ready for the day, but there's going to be breaking news throughout the day, and we're going to come back and cover it again tomorrow, all the developments throughout the next 24 hours, here as we begin the broadcast day tomorrow on Freedomizer Radio. Hillary Clinton trying to calm anti-U.S. sentiment as protesters storm the embassy in Yemen. There's pictures of Yemenites or Yemenis or whatever they're called over there climbing the gates at the American embassy there in Yemen. Hundreds of protesters chanting "Death to America," says the caption, stormed the U.S. embassy compound in Sanaa, Yemen on Thursday. The protesters burned the U.S. flag. Also, they're trying to blame, I'm going to say this quickly, they're trying to blame this anti-Islam film, which, as best I can tell, is titled Innocence of Muslims, or Innocence of Muhammad, something like that. And I've watched the previews after we talked about it on yesterday's show by Imbecile, supposedly funded with $5 million from 100 Jews in Israel. But frankly, the production values and the acting are subpar, to say the least. This may be the only movie I have ever seen, this is not exaggeration, the only movie I have ever seen which is more ridiculous in its acting, its plot, its general tone, its context, in all the aspects of moviedom, the only one more ridiculous than Reefer Madness. These actors could have done themselves well by watching that movie as something to aspire to. The idea that this film is responsible for all these people storming these compounds, to me, is simply ridiculous, and it smacks, frankly, of the B-3 bomber. We'll be back tomorrow here on the Jim Dunzing Show to cover all this in more detail, featuring, of course, opinions so good they ought to be yours. Until then.
Too many people in America fear their government, and the government is being run by too many powerful agencies like the IRS and others. I think it's time the people take the country back through their representative government.
Hey, Mr. Politician, living on that hill, living in that life of luxury on We the People's Bill. Don't have a clue how the other half lives, and that is a shame. It's time to stop a tyranny. You keep pushing through your to feed his cattle and sheep on We the People's land. Try and live as a free man. Your body's illegal anymore. Time to stop these thugs from stealing what's been got and it's down. Going for a revolution. Clock of a tyranny. For if we don't, then who will do it for ourselves? And how about our children? What kind of future will we leave them? And if we won't, we'll wake up slaves on the global plantation, calling for a revolution. Save our constitution while we still got the guns in our hands. Calling for a revolution.
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Joanna Johnston of Illuminating Minds on freedomizerradio.com. So wonderful to be here today. I'm so excited that the connections are great. Everything's working perfectly. We got the internet going real nice. We got the telephone working. We got my Vonage. You name it. It's all kicking butt, and I'm so excited to be here. And I just want to say to all my fans and friends out there who, oh my gosh, I woke up yesterday morning with like, I don't know how many happy birthdays. I felt like crying because I was so happy just how sweet you guys are, you know, giving me these happy birthdays and you know, with inspiring words. And I'm just like, oh, my gosh, thank you so much, you guys. I really appreciate it. And I'm really happy to be an inspiration to you all, to be the heroes that you are, because you are the heroes within. I'm just there to, I believe that my mission is to just wake you up, turn that light bulb on, that's all. Because it happened to me back in 2005. My first, very first mentor, which was Eddie, he put that light bulb over me, and it was just, I mean, he opened up my eyes, and that was it. That was like, oh, my gosh, you know, and I owe a lot to him, so much to him for waking me up, because if it wasn't for him, I don't think I'd be here today, you guys. I think I'd be out there with a little Wicca crew and doing tarot readings. That's it. So I'm here. Everything happens for a reason. You know, a lot of these little events that happen in our life, we think, oh, my God, it's so horrible. And, you know, I had a horrible incident that happened even on my birthday. It was just really bad. I don't really want to go into it, but it was something that happened, and it was like, are you kidding me? Like, on my birthday, it had to happen on my freaking birthday, and I cried about it. I got sad about it. But you know what? Within a few hours of that, and then talking to my mentor, Jaguar, I felt really good. He actually inspired me and really picked me up. And not only that, it actually gave me some good ideas. And it was because of that, launched something very powerful and brand new. And it is going to be, and I will have Jaguar take it from, basically explain that. It's about our new improved information. You know, to finally, you know, sometimes in our life when you just finally need a kick in the butt, a good kick in the butt for you to just, like, wake up and say, you know what, enough's enough. I can only be pushed so far anymore. But, you know, if it wasn't for that, I would have not done what I had to do yesterday. I made a great decision to do something. And Jaguar and I are definitely working together. We've been working together off and on. We worked, if you guys have been following us, 2 years ago. You know, he is my mentor. He's also a forensic investigator and deals with a lot of really powerful information with a lot of inside information coming from inside people. Let's put it that way. Like, out, you know, like you think, okay, Drake, everyone talks about Drake having his inside info. Well, Jaguar is like Drake, but he's like maybe 10 times even more. I mean, Drake's good at what he does, I'm sure, but in the accounting world and account science and UCC and secure party creditor stuff, you definitely want to deal with Jaguar and all his inside information, because I tell you, it, because of this information, if you haven't heard about the finance of ministry, or Ministry of Finance, I'm not talking right today, basically went from one of our team members who was trained by Jaguar himself. Because of him, he made him quit, which was pretty damn exciting. You know, he did the, basically something happened to one of our members. He was pushed so far, it's been going on for years. And he got to a point, and he got pushed and pushed and pushed all to so far to the edge, and then he realized, you know what? I'm so sick and tired of this crap. I'm going to make a change. Obviously, I'm here, and they keep coming after me, and obviously, I have to make a stand, and there's nothing else for me to lose anymore. So he finally made a stand, and he did it, and he made a freaking change, and I feel that it's going to be, it's a part of history. Like, he made history. And that made the Ministry of Finance quit in British Columbia. So that's one of them. And we decided to launch our Sorcerer Ninja Society.ning.com, where everybody who's very serious, you know, especially from Sovereign Warriors, if you've been following us on Sovereign Warriors for the past couple years, Sorcerer Ninja Society is going to be for something very strong, and it's basically, you're going to learn a lot of inside information that has never been taught before. Neither even creditors and commerce know about this. Winston Shrout really know about this. Again, this is from the inside scoop. This is very, very, very interesting, and there's remedies and major success here, and it's going to change the whole face of everything that has ever been taught to us. It's like a major revolution going on for everybody to own that power. And it's integrated. It's an emergence of spiritual energy moving into a higher dimension, vibration, along with account science and holodynamics. So I'm going to go ahead and bring my mentor on. You guys get ready. Listen here, because you guys are going to learn so much. Get your notes, get your pads, get your pens. Here is my mentor, Jaguar. Come on. Jaguar.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear. How are you doing today?
Well, I just, you know, I've been up all night long doing some stuff and having too much fun for just one individual. I'm telling you, it is. It's fun. The last 6 to 8 months, we've been talking to a lot of people on the ground floor, getting out the door, walking in through doors, and talking to people. And for people who want to know a little bit more, how exactly did a student use paperwork to displace a minister of finance in a British Columbia province? It works like this. Everybody's been chasing the wrong end of the dog. Everybody wants to go after the birth certificate. Birth certificate's connected to the treasury. Well, how about maybe it's something else? So here's what it is. I've been working with various groups for a very long time, multiple years, in some cases decades. They are groups that are parallel to development where we're at, and some groups are in front of us. So it gets down to this, and both countries in Canada and the United States, and even Mexico has this too, but Spanish isn't good enough, so I don't exactly know the answers for Mexico, but we know where to look. So at the end of the day, the Canadian government and the American government have a situation where your redemption works, and it works on the concept is you must supply the government with a notarized statement. Are you ready for this? Put on your moon boots. What is it they have to produce there, Drew? Tell them.
What they have to produce is their residency information.
Yes.
And death certificate?
That's it. There you go. You make up your own death certificate. Now, does that sound like K-ball stuff for what? That's it. That's it, folks. You make out your very own presumption of a death certificate, and that's what starts the magic off. Now, I can say some things here on this. I've been given access to certain files of other teachers, and I have seen estate checks sent out from both the Canadian government and the American government to their students. Genuine, live, real.
Wow.
Yeah, estate checks, that's how
that
it all works.
Awesome.
So, Drew, you want to explain to everybody why the death certificate works because of those the two words that you use all the time?
Oh, male, that's right.
Male and female. Why don't you tell everybody what those
Yes, agricultural names. Like, they use male and female because they look at the male and female as animals. Now, have you ever asked yourself, you guys, have you ever asked yourself when, you know, when you're out to fill out an application and they want to ask you if you're a male or female, have you ever asked yourself, God, this sounds like an animal for some reason? I know when I was a kid, I asked the same question. I looked at female, and they told me that I was a female. I go, God, that sounds like I'm a German Shepherd dog. You know, we used to raise those dogs, and I'm a female. So, yes, we're animals. Go for it.
Yeah, and that's how it all starts, is because of the fact that we are listed on paper as males and females, you have an opportunity to correct this. And so it is that there is such a item called presumption of death. Now, this is where the SPC begins to change and produce better results when you come back. So everything begins with the twins. So who are the twins? Well, the twins are your resident card and your citizen card. Every time you go somewhere, open up a bank account, get a Blockbuster's movie account going, everybody wants to see either your resident card or your citizen card. So for the Canadians, we have social insurance numbers and BN numbers, which are business numbers. The Americans have social security numbers and EIN, which is your employer identification number. So this is how it works. You make up your presumption of death. In my particular case, I simply said that the male belonging to the world of horticulture and agricultural was indeed an animal, and therefore as an animal has no voice. But I'm a live man, and I'm an adult, and I'm not a child. and therefore you have to deal with me as a man. More or less. Mine was 6 pages long. We'll explain it to you, but you have 2 methods to go in the doorway. You can figure out which way you want to do this. It's called probate or intestate. So the big secret here, the ones that are making this work on a regular basis are actually utilizing their resident card and their citizenship card and are claiming the deaths of these individuals that are either males or female.
Once the death of the animal, basically. You're saying this animal is dead. I am no longer considered this animal, so therefore I am a live being, and I am taking full responsibility of myself as a live woman or live man.
Exactly. And the thing here to do is add the word adult in the phrase, because it works like this. People might have a little difficulty with this analogy, but it works like this. The government is set up in the same situation as the parents, the child, and the adult child. So it works like this. The federal government of the United States of America, the federal government of Canada, these are considered to be the adults. Their ministries, for example, the tax department, were considered to be the child. So you have to address your communications. You're not asking anybody anything. You're operating as an adult talking to another adult that their child is misbehaving.
So basically, the government is misbehaving. Say child support is misbehaving. That would be considered their child, correct?
Exactly. So the federal government is the adult. Whomever works underneath them is the child. And so when you correspond and communicate with them, you must instruct them. That's what they're looking for. They're looking for you to give them directions and instructions. You don't ask them. Tell them. Yes, Obama and the United States government of America, how you doing today? It's a live man over here. It's funny, you know, I was a live man, I got an animal's name, and as an animal, I got a man's name. How does that work out? But at any rate, I'm not real happy with your children. They've been misbehaving. I think you should take them into the backyards and, you know, give them a little bit of a pat on the butt and tell them to put a bar of soap in their mouth and wash it out. I don't like the way they be talking recently. Next thing you know, things begin to work when you direct and instruct using nothing but accounts. Now, let's go back to the Minister of Finance. And how did one of these young men and women manage to displace the Minister of Finance? They comprehend this. Whatever city you're in, whatever institution or form of government that is not giving you a good go at getting things resolved, the very corporation, the city that you're in, there is called a risk management team, and they're inside City Hall.
Bum, ba-da, bum. Love it.
Risk management are the people who control the payday drawer. And all you have to do is give them a reason to open up the payday drawer and give it to you. So in this particular incident that led to the Minister of Finance having a pretty rough morning, the uniqueness of the phone call is something to pay attention to. So working with the crew here on the ground floor, we're opening up another post office box, which we happen to refer to as the Treasury of Light. Every time we go to open up a post office box, we always tell everybody, what are you doing? We're opening up the Treasury of Light today, right here in your location. Thank you. And that's what we're doing. We're setting up another post office box, which we like the nickname, the Treasury of Light, and we're getting texts coming in. The student's paperwork had just been received by the Minister of Finance, and 15 minutes later, the guy quits. Why did he do that? Because he got a risk management stamp on his paperwork. And what that essentially means is they have 72 hours to fix this, or risk management has to fix it by default. So what did they do? They put the mark of liability and they left it on the open table because the Minister of Finance decided it was easier to quit because they got a family to look after or something. And at the same time, in the same day that this went down, six other ministers in the government have made a decision that they too are going to have to step down because they got family that they have to look after.
Wow, so this happened all in Canada?
Yes, yes, right here in beautiful, beautiful British Columbia, six ministers are going to be stepping down, and it's because they've been getting paperwork with their inabilities to perform, stamped by risk management, and then sent back to the provincial government, same as your state government. Now they have to make a decision, either fix this or fuck it. It's too late to fuck it. So now they have to fix it. And the person sitting on the table is the one who owns the liability at this point. And so the minister has to step down to be replaced so they can figure out what to do. Now, how does this work in the wonderful world of SPC? Works like this. We have a number of UN declarations out there that talk about security of the person. Security of the person, security of the person, security of the person. It's all over the UN stuff. So that's basically one of the ways to do this, is to utilize security of the person, even though they're talking about the legal person, and the legal person is always going to be a decedent, and it's always going to be an animal. So how does the government have us described? We are described as a legal person somewhere on their books, as being a fungible, you gotta love this word, fungible agricultural commodity producer who does fatten the calf. And we are known as corpus. And the game of money is about the distribution of corpus, the distribution of interest on corpus. That's what it's all about.
That's sickening. Absolutely,
yeah,
sickening.
It is. So we're running around. Think about this. I was just going over an article by David Wilcox of Divine Cosmo talking about the differences are coming up here with the photon shift. And according to his information, the planet is what we call a true green ray energy. However, we still are being held to an orange ray operational mode. And in the David Wilcox Divine Cosmo article, the orange ray, by David Wilcox's lineup of colors, orange ray is the color of the animal. Well, think about it. If we got 6.5 billion people on the planet, we're all running around disguised in the on the books as animals, would that have anything to do with the way we operate as a whole, do you think?
Right.
Isn't that weird? So,
isn't that why they talk to you in such a way, too? They talk to you like garbage, like you're an animal, or worse.
Because that's what they inherently have been trained. And don't forget, let's go back to the wonderful world of Socrates. Socrates tells us that spelling, how we learn in school, how to spell, that's exactly what it is. We are learning how to produce a spell using cursive language. Cursive language. Yes, that's right. Can you read and write English? Perfect. You're one of the masters at using cursive language. Isn't that wonderful? I have always thought that as an English speaker, that's one of the things that really makes me want to learn another language. Wow, the most intensive cursive language on the planet happens to be English. Like it or not, but most times you open your mouth to say something in English to somebody, you are literally giving them a curse. And you didn't even know that. How's that for beauty? So this is one of the
right,
ways.
Right, like.
Eliminate. Yeah. So that's it. So, Drew, explain to them how we can remove our abilities to curse each other.
Well, you know, we said the word hello, right? I know you did explain that before. Hello it's like an old Phoenician word, which is telling somebody to go to low hell. So basically just don't even use those words. Be very careful what it is that you use.
Exactly. Now,
and is it just English?
Yes, it has infected most of the other societies on the planet. But isn't that something very interesting to think about? The word hello, which we use as a commonality to express good information, to good tidings. But yet the actual word in and of itself by the original designers is every time you use that word, hello, 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 you're actually bidding them to go to low hell. Now, usually what I do is I say, yes, the word hello has an excellent word, and I like to reserve it for a tax man. Hello, 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 how are you? Yes.
There you go.
Reserve
for a tax man. Yeah, you definitely need to do that.
Yes. Now, you think about that, it's pretty funny. And it is. So I like to use the word hello, especially reserved for tax agents. I like that for tax agents. Of course, they don't understand. They think I'm just trying to be polite. He was such a polite young man. Hello, 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 how are you? Hello, 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 how are you? He's always saying hello three times. Why is that? Because I know that if I say hello to you three times, there's a good chance I can keep your ass in middle hell, which is a good place for you to be anyways because you're a dead dog. The tax agents appreciate when you talk to
them. Oh, Jaguar. I was going to say, I have a question here in Facebook. You know, I got my Facebook on and everything. And one guy is asking, one of our fans who's been following us for a very long time, if we were putting something together for the SPC.
Oh, see, let's jump right into it. Jump right into it. All right.
Yeah,
okay.
he's like, come on, get to the point. No, okay, no, he didn't say that, but, you know.
Okay, get to the point. We actually do. We've got we're approaching this from a different position in the fact that we're going to add all the pieces that we didn't have a chance to talk about the first time because it takes a long time to get your head around the concept that everything on paper is a dead animal sacrifice token. It takes your head to get around it. So here's what we got going. We've got an absolutely incredible opportunity to enhance our learning curve. So for the last 6 to 8 months, we've been working with a lot of local groups, not too much on the internet, mostly local hands-on. And it comes like this, 66 words. So the first thing we're going to bring out is the virtual research station that was developed by Timothy Paul Madden. Timothy Paul Madden is recognized by the Parliament of Canada as an expert in banking fraud and has been to the Supreme Court of Canada as an expert in banking fraud and has had his papers published around the planet as an expert in banking fraud. Now, he's one of my mentors.
Wow.
So I figured, let's get the people that teach me and get them involved with you. How about that? Jaguars and mentors are going to come out of the closet because you all think I'm a smart guy. I'm not the smart guy. I hang out with smart guys. I'm just an idiot that knows how to talk. That's it. I'm not the smart guy. Just sound like smart guy.
Oh, come on.
Yeah,
you do have a brain, man. Some of the things I can't even conceive of, like, you know, you're talking all this account terminology, and I get really lost, you know, in mathematics and stuff.
Yeah, so imagine that we are going to have this. So what is a virtual research station? A virtual research station is comprised of a private collection of dictionaries from 1792 to 1923. They're outside of the public domain copyright. So Timothy Paul Madden did acquire this collection and has now made it part of his asset base, and he's got it put together. So 66 words are what we're going to learn at the Sorcerer Ninja level for your white belt, your yellow belt, your gold belt and your orange belt. You know these 66 words. You know the history of these 66 words. You are going to be ready to walk into meetings and have the most powerful people in that room begin to give you extreme accolades of how smart you are. Because the great thing about SBC, Security of the Person, this is not legislation. This is about accounting. That's it. Accounts. That's it. Accounts do not necessarily rely on legislation. They rely on mathematics. So One of the first things we're bringing out is a virtual research station to assist you. So you can take this research station, you put it on your own hard drive. It'll either get you, mail obviously is what we're using. We don't want to send this as a download over the internet because we've had difficulties before. When the system begins to find out you're learning to use the very best of their words to defeat them in the game of commerce, they have a tendency to get a little shy. So they have made it a point to make this as a virtual research station. And over the next 72 hours, we're going to drop a sample of this off into the Sorcerer's Ning Society to give you an idea of what this collection is and how you can use this to upgrade your
voice. Oh, yeah. Exciting, huh, you guys?
Why don't we see if anybody's got any questions? It's good. I'm up for questions if anybody's got any. Because this is such
a... Yeah, anybody have any questions out there? If not, what we can do is we can take a break real quick, Jaguar, because I have to play some commercials. But then after that, I'll get back on the line. And then if anyone has any questions, feel free to get in line, okay? Very, very, very excited. Thank you so much for getting on. I mean, I've been dying to do this for a while. We've been dying to do this for a while, Jaguar. Okay, hold on. We'll be right back.
Hey guys, tune into the Heated Conversation hosted by me, Vicky. UFOs, GMOs, and chemtrails, oh my. We talk about anything and everything as long as it's hot. So call in and join the discussion live Thursday nights, 10:30 to midnight, and Friday nights, 9 to midnight Pacific. Only on FreedomizerRadio.com.
Join me, Valerie Ann, on the Truth Exposition Show at Freedomizer Radio in exposing the truth about FEMA camps, drone surveillance, martial law, the New World Order, our threatened freedoms and civil liberties, and for weekly news and current events. Mainstream media continues with its lies and deceit to fulfill the agenda of the New World Order. So please join me in exposing the truth, along with the lies and the deceptions that are being fed to the American people. The people of the United States have a voice, and your voice will be heard through Freedomizer Radio.
Our new show is dedicated to prophecy and our survival in times of great disasters. Greetings, I'm Mars, commander of the Watcher Society. We are a private think tank of the most elite thinkers on the end times ever. Welcome to the Watcher's Prophecy Radio on Freedomizer. Our show highlights the end of days as seen through the scriptures and how to prepare for the events we see in the news. We will inform you, like no other show, on the events occurring now in Bible prophecy. Come join us for the unveiling of tyranny in the end of days forecast. What you can do about it.
Howdy, folks. Buford T. Slaughter here. As part of my continuing rehabilitation, and in conjunction with my anger management coach and my parole officer, I am required to do community service in the form of public service announcements. The TSA needs you. If you're the kind of guy that doesn't mind looking at naked boys and girls as they walk through the naked body scanners, or if you don't mind pulling an 82-year-old grandma out of a wheelchair, beating the heck out of her, make sure she's not carrying any bomb-making equipment, and if you don't mind taking people that object to this kind of treatment, slapping the heck out of them, pull them in the back room, and strip-searching them, then the TSA is for you. The TSA is hiring men and women to work at numerous locations around the United States, and the only qualifications are you must have longer than average index fingers, be able to sit and stare at a screen while naked people walk in front of you, and be able to take orders without any questions whatsoever. So, if you're interested in the TSA, please call 1-800-BROWN-SHIRT. 1-800-BROWN-SHIRT. And on a personal note, when the TSA does frisk you as you're going through the airport security, It is an act of love for the U.S. government. It is not an act of rape. So please do not beat them up. Thank you for your time.
Hey, hello, this is Joanna Johnston with Jaguar, my mentor. I wanted to also say something really interesting, because a lot of people are wondering, oh, what are you guys going to do? You know, they were talking about also, you know, like what we were going to do, what the future hold for us, now that we're, you know, really back strong together even more. We got all the pieces that we didn't have before. We got all the pieces, and they are working. I mean, my God, powerful stuff. We got people asking, oh, what's Sorcerer Ninja? What does that have to do with anything? Thinking it's sorcery, like we're, you know, magicians. And really what we came up with was the name Sorcerer, like we are the source. This is where the information comes from. So it sounds like it's got a catchy name to it. And then Ninja, because both Jaguar and I, we do practice in the arts of ninjutsu and Aikido. And he's been practicing for some time now with a really awesome group in Vancouver, which I'm pretty proud of him. And I'm also practicing with some people here down in Cancun. And the reason why we do this is not only just for self-defense, but you also learn the energy and the ways of combat. You don't fight against. You don't resist. You know, when someone grabs your wrist, you don't pull away. You don't fight against anybody. This is not what we're about. We're about non-adverse. We're peaceful warriors. You know, we deal with things in a very peaceful manner. We don't fight with people. We don't drop bombs at people. We only show how we're able to communicate, that we're old enough and that we're adults to communicate in a very positive, more grown-up manner. You can stand out there with your signs all you want. Strike, I'm on, you know, strike, whatever. They're not going to listen to you because they see it nothing but a bunch of animals. So now that we have this education and information, which is very powerful stuff, we can now use it in a way that's more constructive, like in Aikido. You know, okay, so your opponent wants to go ahead and throw a punch at you. You know what you do? You not allow to get punched. You kind of go the way where he's going to punch you. You kind of, okay, you're going to pull me? Okay, I'll go the way you pull me. Yeah, go ahead, pull me. And then you turn around and then you show him something else. You know, you don't ever resist and pull away. You do things in a very fluid manner. And that is exactly the technique that we're going to be teaching many, many people. And yes, there is success, and that's what it's about. It's not about just discharging your debt. Although, yes, this information now is more than that. It's to basically put a stop to them even touching your account or anything like that. And to a point where if they don't stop, then basically they're going to get their pensions taken from them or they're going to have to quit, just like what the Ministry of Finance had to do. But you don't, you know, you do it in a way where it's just it's all based on account science terminology, you know. So I thought that was pretty interesting. And then I had an issue yesterday, I'm going to throw it out. Someone that I've spoken to, actually, you know, I was really trying to help them out, and they got hit really bad with a child support order that they never even received a notice for. And even though they had a joint account, they still went into their account and took their money for the child support. And we're not even talking, okay, if you're 10,000 behind or if you're 20 grand behind. They just went in and took their money. There was not even a notice. Even the lawyer was baffled. And this happened in San Diego. So the good news is it's wonderful to know, because they just opened an account with us. Because they did that, now we're going to see a lot of people fall in those areas. Because, number one, you know, they think that they're dealing with children. So we got to show them that we're dealing with adults and that we're not dead. So, but, yeah, that's what they'll do. And by law, no one is supposed to be touching your joint account, because you can have a joint account with someone else. They have no idea whose money it belongs to. Like, who gave these people any right or any, you know, who made them God to just go into your account. When they go into your account, to me, it's like they actually are allowed to put their hands in your underpants and mess with you. It's the same thing. It's nothing different. It's called molestation, and rape is what they're doing. And this is when the lady actually hired an attorney, too. And then still, and the attorney's like, I was even baffled, like, wow, I never heard of that before. This is really crazy. So there's a lot of things going on. And, yeah, we can pretend to run or whatever. But, you know what, the best thing to do is we have to stand up, because that is what our – that is what the next step is about. It's about challenge. You have to ask yourself, why the hell did I come here for? What's the whole reason? Was it for me to run away, or for me to, like, you know, dip my head in the sand and try to pretend that I'm some, you know, something else, that nothing's happening? I mean, you can go ahead and do that, but for how long are you going to do that? And it was really funny. I was telling my mentor Jaguar this, you know, and my husband this. Very, very, very funny. You know, we talked about, you know, bliss. Like a bliss, being in bliss is a beautiful thing. Like, what is that, Jaguar? Have you heard of that? Knowledge is bliss, or
yes.
Not being aware. What is it? What is that quote?
Okay. I'm a little thrown off because I don't remember.
Ignorance. Okay. No, it's okay. Ignorance is bliss. Okay, he and Jeremy's like, my husband's like, wow, well, ignorance, you know, shit, it's bliss, you know, because no one knows, and, you know, thanks to Eddie, you know, he had to tell you everything, and now you're like this, you know, right? Well, you know what I told him? I said, you know what, hon? I said, you know, I used to think ignorance was bliss, you know, back in the day when I was married to my ex-husband, who has been giving me nothing but hell for the past, I don't know how many years. I can tell you this. You know, I was a housewife, I was doing my thing, I stayed home with the kids, I'd go out there in the backyard, I'd hang my clothes, you know, in North Carolina, nice sunshine, hang my clothes, and my whole life was all about being a mommy, being a wife, going to Wicca parties or whatever parties, like, you know, New Age, metaphysical or whatever, like those little crystal parties or whatever, and do tarot readings and having a good time and eating with friends. And it was great, you guys. I loved living that reality. It was fun. We had a lot of fun. I didn't think about the whole conspiracy thing. I didn't think about chemtrails dumping on your backyard and into your home. I didn't think about all those things. And ignorance was bliss. It was all right. It wasn't going to hurt me. But you know what? I wasn't prepared. I wasn't prepared what was going to happen to me. When if I would have known, if I would have met Eddie in North Carolina and he would have told me something and warned me about something before it happened to me, before out of the blue, I wasn't a housewife anymore, and I wasn't even a mommy anymore. I had my kids taken from me by my ex so he can get it on with a bunch of other women. And he didn't realize he was hurting the children, and all he can say was, oh, you're an abusive mom, you beat them, you hit them, you did all this stuff, and there was no medical reports to prove it, especially if you're going to make serious allegations like that. It was anything to help him with what, you know, to justify what he did was right. So, therefore, here, I was in bliss, you know, ignorant. I wasn't prepared, and before you know it, I was thrown out, and, wasn't prepared for anything. And I have not seen my daughter still since she was 4 years old. She's now 14. My son, I finally got to see him. He was living with me, and it was a hard battle trying to get to know each other again. And for him to really realize the truth, it was very difficult. So now, I mean, of course, everything happens for a reason. If that never happened, I would probably not be here. But you know what? Now, 7, 8 years, almost 10 years later, I'm looking at things, and I'm just like, you know what? I'm going to be prepared right now. I'm going to be prepared after Eddie told me what was going on and then Jaguar telling me what's going on, which I'm very, very proud to have and very honored to have such great mentors in my life. I'm prepared now, and I refuse to be ignorant anymore. The moment my husband got out of the Navy, I said, we are getting the frick out of this country. We're taking our kids. And we're leaving right now. We're not going to put up with this crap until we finally got a remedy, we got some solutions, and then when we do, then it's showtime. And I'm not kidding. you know, because I think everybody needs to know this. This is very, very serious. You know, people are getting their kids taken from them, not even by their exes. Now it's by the government. Strangers, you know, and people are getting their houses taken from them. So you, how much longer do you want to pretend that ignorance is bliss? Are you going to do something about it? You know, I think it's time to do something about it, and that's where I'm at right now. And that's why I'm here today to do what I'm doing, because I care about everybody. And, you know, I don't ever want anyone to go through the hell I went through. And I'm sure there's people that went through worse than I went through, way worse, where their kids were taken and they were living in foster homes, and then the kids were actually being molested and raped, you know, which is worse than what my children ever had to go through. There's a lot of stories like that out there. But it's because we have to be adults, right, Jaguar?
It's helpful.
What do you think?
It's helpful. It's helpful to do that. But it takes a long time to get to that point, Drew, as you well know. It takes a long time to get to that point. But once you're there, that's the best thing to use. It really is.
Right. Exactly. So, you know, that's pretty much it. You know, yeah, I would love to go back to that day where I was hanging my clothes and I had my little girl running underneath the clothes and, "Ah, Mommy, I love you," and all these cute little things she did. I'd love to go back. I'd give anything to go back there sometimes. But you know what? It's like, you know, if I was aware of what might happen, if I would have known the knowledge that I know now on being a secure party creditor, are you kidding me? I would have never allowed that to happen. There'd be no way in hell. I go right into the courtroom with my UCC-1 and everything that I do know and say, ha-ha, you know. And, by the way, we do have another member. I don't know if he's going to call in, but he's from Brazil. And he's known as Life Liberty from all in Sovereign Warriors. And he called to tell me, he was kind of like calling and calling. I thought it was like an emergency. I'm like, "What's up with you, guy?" He's like, "No, I just called to tell you I've been having some freaking success." I'm like, "You have? With what?" And he said that he got pulled over by a cop because he ran a stop sign. This is recently. And he showed the UCC-1 and the power of attorney general. And the cop, basically, he looked at the paperwork, and he basically said, it's not a big deal that you did what you did, so here you go, I'm going to let you go. He actually let him go. Another occurrence is when, I guess, something happened where they actually took his money from him, some corporation, and he got back, and they said, "Well, we're not allowed to give you any money back until you do this for us first." So then he showed a copy of the UCC-1 and the power of attorney general, and within a month, they gave him a check back, which I thought was pretty interesting. If you are in sovereignwarriors.ning.com, talk to Life Liberty. That's who he is, and you can ask him for his little story, see what he has to say. But anyway, I wanted to, again, move on to the questions now. Anybody else have any questions that you guys want are just dying to ask Jaguar? You know, because I get a lot of you that have been on the call with me wanting to ask. Let's see, I got a couple numbers here. If you guys want to call in, it's 347-324-3704. Again, the number is 347-324-3704 on freedomizerradio.com, Illuminating Minds Show. Let's see, I got a couple people here. Okay, hello, you're on the air, 413. Hello? Guess they're shy. Okay, let's go to this one. 562, you're on the air. Do you have a question? Or are you just listening? We just got listeners. Okay, so but I'm going to go ahead in the chat room. Anybody else have any questions at all? Please put your questions in the chat room. That'd be great too, on freedomizerradio.com, or call that number again, which is 347-324-3704. Until I see anybody who has any questions, then I'll just go ahead and bring you up. Sometimes I get a lot of people on Facebook too that want to ask some questions, but I guess I'm not really seeing anything. I guess they're pretty much right on with you, Jaguar. They're agreeing to everything that you're saying, and they're just going to shut up for you. That's what I see.
Well, that's kind of unique to hear. I was hoping there'd be a few questions. But
yeah.
Think about this. All that is stopping an individual man or a woman from having a better relationship with their government is to inform your government that you're not the decedent animal, and do it in a language that they can understand and work with. And so what we're going to learn over the next little while as a sorcerer ninja in the Sorcerer Ninja Society is we are going to learn how to develop the pieces to get you there. The first thing that's going to be imperative is the 66 words. You really must know these words. Give you an example. I had a chance to take a look at some paperwork over the summertime by somebody who knows how to do their paperwork very, very well. And so I had an opportunity to view the paperwork, and the first thing I took a look at on their lien registration was they had the term Bailey and Baylor in the correct order, in the correct slot. Says, so how long did it take you to find those words? And they did explain to me it took them almost 300 hours of reverse engineering legislation to find those two words. 300 hours.
Wow.
Somebody had to read approximately 80 pieces of legislation to find those two words, Bailey, Baylor. It took them almost.
That takes a lot of work, huh? A lot of work, a lot of studying, you know what I mean? A lot of heartache, too, I bet.
It's certainly getting there the hard way. But once you've gone through that, so ask yourself, do you want to spend 150 hours to learn a new word the hard way? Isn't it easier if we just give you the word and then you can use the virtual research station and educate yourself that way? So the virtual research station is an opportunity for you to begin to participate in what we call the words go missing. That's right, the words go missing. So if you take...
Awesome, that's a good idea, good idea. I was going to say real quick, Jagger, I have a call. I got a caller.
Hold on.
Dollars.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I know
you're like,
yeah,
questions. Okay, you're on the air. 206. Hello.
Oh, maybe that's me.
Yeah, that's you. Hey.
Hi. How are you guys?
Great, Power Babe. How are you doing?
I'm good. Hi, Jag.
Hey, Power Babe. I'm glad you're online. It's good to hear you.
Good to hear your voice, too. Everybody here is saying hi, Golden Dragonfly, and Nate saying hi, and we're enjoying hearing you.
Excellent, yeah. So isn't this a blast? Everything's working out because you got to step up to the table and tell the government you're no longer the dead animal, I'm the live man, and then use their risk insurance information to move it on to the next table.
Yeah.
You know, since you got a little bit of Canadian in you, you can understand some of the finer sense of the humor. Here's that works really well.
A little bit of Canadian, huh?
Yeah, a little bit of Canadian, yes. Yeah, she's part Canadian bacon.
Mm-hmm. that's you.
Oh. I guess
I'm Canadian bacon, too, so that's all right.
Okay, a pair of cheeseburgers to go.
Yeah, exactly, with cheese.
There we go.
Anyway,
wow, so how are you liking the information, Kim?
Oh, awesome. Awesome. It's always exciting to hear new and exciting things. I know
Taylor's
got a lot coming up that he's been dealing with over the last few months, so that's really awesome.
Oh, yeah. It's great. It's great that things are finally coming together now. And, you know, we've had the pieces, but we didn't have it all. And it, you know what? There's this thing called perfect timing or divine timing. And I think that's what it is. It's divine timing. And I felt it was time to just, you know, let go and just kind of let the universe bring you the information through all these key people that are coming into play. And all of a sudden, here we are. And this is just amazing. I'm really happy to get the Sorcerer Ninja Society launched. for people that are very, very serious about taking a step, and it's not for people that are going to be scared to use this information, that they're ready to say, look, you know what? I have the power to tell you what to do now. And with major success, because it's either for us to do this, or you know what, they're gonna win, and that's not what we want. Not unless, of course, 2012 is the end of the year, the end of the old way, and we ascend, and who knows what happens. But I believe that this is a big part of the ascension for us to wake up and claim our inheritance and say, hey, you know, we're awake now.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool,
you know,
huh?
What? Have you seen the new Disney movie called John Carter of Mars?
No.
Oh, you've got to watch that. You've got to watch it. There's a lot of message in that movie. I can't really go into a lot of detail. I got to see it again because I watched it once, and my God, there is a lot in that movie.
Wow, John Carter of Mars. Okay,
yeah,
well, you know, Jeremy's top on that.
Yeah, it's really,
yes.
Really good.
Anyways, wow.
I got to get off because I got to get on a webinar
okay.
Here in a few minutes. But I just want to call in and say hey to you guys and love you both, and it's good to hear you.
Yeah, oh, definitely awesome. And I wanted to announce too, girl, before you get off, that that Jeremy, the family, we're thinking about coming up the first second week of October.
Yay!
Up to beautiful Washington State and Vancouver. So it's
cool.
Going to be awesome. It just so happens that week the kids are out of school down here. They're out of school for like a week and a half, so that's like perfect timing for us to just get and enjoy the beautiful Washington weather. So, and we can come say hi.
That would be awesome. That would be awesome. Yeah, the weather's been absolutely just outstanding up here. Really unusual.
Really? Are the leaves falling right now?
Really nice. No. Well, not so much yet. They're just kind of starting to turn color, but it's
oh, nice.
Really, like, it's been unusually sunny. I mean, the skies have been clear. We haven't had rain in I don't know how many days. Like,
wow. Well, that's nice, especially for Washington. That's great.
52 days without rain, if you can imagine that, for Washington State, especially this side of the mountains. That's just, like, unheard of.
Giving you a break.
Yeah.
Well, girl, thank
yeah.
you so much for being on the show. If you have any questions, that'd be awesome. But if you don't, that's okay, too.
I don't at the moment, but
okay.
I can call Jag on the direct hotline when I have a question.
I know, right? There you go, girl. Okay, well, I'm going to let you go because I do have someone that does have a question. Woohoo!
Right.
Finally. Like,
right.
Come on, people. No. Okay, bye, girl. Love you. All right, we got 815. 815, you're on the air. Get on the air.
Oh, wow. Hey, stranger. How's it going? This is Brian.
Brian, how are you? Oh, my gosh, long time no talk.
Right?
How you
doing?
Been?
Oh, staying busy, you know, trying to stay out of trouble and out of light, you know.
Wow, Jaguar, it's Brian. We haven't heard from him forever, huh?
Oh, yeah, no, we've been doing a little Skyping here. He's been beating up the locals up in his neighborhood here. He's been getting really good at it, so he's actually putting a schedule and starting a new crew, is what I hear. Yes.
Ooh,
yeah.
Let's hear about it.
Yeah, we're trying to get, I've been kind of, you know, things kind of slowed down a little bit. People are, you know, trying to get their resources together, so I've been trying to take the time to figure out how I'm going to kind of restructure, you know, the process of how, you know, we're assisting homeowners and a crew to kind of help represent and that sort of stuff. And I'm going to give it one last big push, I guess, so to speak, and see how, you know, we can kind of effectively help homeowners or, you know, who are in or are about to be in foreclosure and that sort of stuff. Generally, when we were doing our reports, I was facing him a lot of federal RICO statute violations, which is, for those of you that don't know, RICO statute violations are racketeering charges and that sort of stuff, which is all usually trumped up on a federal level, and that's usually kind of where you want to hang out and build these charges against your lenders to prevent them from trying to take your house. So it kind of gives
wow.
you a better edge, you know. So I've actually, kind of like an active lawyer or something. The moon's all aligned in the right place at the right time or something or another, but I actually ended up getting introduced to some guys that actually fly in out of the state of Illinois into Washington that actually work on the Stock Exchange Commission. And there were various laws and stuff that I was missing that I knew it existed because I had read them, but the details as far as, you know, like when you cite a case law, you have to give page number or such and such, you know, subsection 2.63-whatever and blah, blah, blah. Well, in our reports, we were trying to display that stuff so these people would, you know, get their reports and the stuff would be in there as far as rules and regulations and the existence of a note and a security at the same time. So as soon as we had finally gotten somebody that's actually going to give me all these really hard find rules and regulations that are based on tax evasion and the creation of a stock process to a mortgage note, where the two actually really can't be existent at the same time, for the bank to possess the actual true note, so to speak, to collect on your debt. So once we get those in hand, that's pretty much like, the creme de la creme of all info, because when you can walk into the judge and say, well, you know, according to the U.S. Stock Exchange, you can't take a lending note and use it as collateral to build something else in the stock market and get that displayed and showed. It's going to be crazy because we actually figured out, or I actually sat down with a guy, and this is where it comes into play. I actually sat down with a guy. Instead of possibly trying to take the banks to court, like let's say if you're in California, instead of trying to take the banks to court in California based on suing them for your property by way of saying they're not the just totally basing on the fact that they're not the true holder of the note because they never had it because they created the note and shredded it and made it into a stock, sue them under the rules and regulations of the SEC because it's a much bigger penalty.
Wow. Awesome. What do you think about that, Jag?
Well, Brian and I have been in a lot of discussion about this for a while, and he's been doing some real hardcore research on this, and he's got a formula here that is not exactly a one-size-fits-all, but it is a much flexible position to go with. And combine mm-hmm. this with getting risk management, your local city hall, because risk management is the department that's responsible for all the corporations that are in the city of. So let's
right.
look at that. So let's say that there's the mayor of San Diego. Well, the mayor of San Diego is responsible for all of the businesses that are operating there, and these are considered to be the children. And this is, we had an idea of risk management there, but Brian, you've done an incredible amount of work, and I wanted to say, for those who don't know much about Brian managed to be tripping through the internet, checking on different things, and managed to catch a call where Druin and myself were harassing the...
Sorry, we were not harassing. We were informing the officials that they were...
And Brian got so excited about hearing how the prosecutor at a Catawba hung up on us. He says, damn, I want to learn how to do that myself. And
yeah.
So for people who don't know this, Brian literally hopped on a plane, came out to the West Coast to spend some time with Power Babe and Drew, and just... From next thing you know, he is deep, deep, deep into the woods, learning how to become one of the best solution artists on the planet for helping people with their mortgages through learning how... Brian actually had to go out and learn how to become an auditor. He went to school for this. So congratulations, Brian, for bringing another solution to the table. It's everybody, please, you know, you got to thank guys like this for coming up to the table and putting their efforts in, because it's solutions for everybody. And really good to see the progress you're making, Brian. It's excellent.
Oh, yeah, Brian.
I definitely have to tell people if they got a chance to come out and hang with you and Drew, be careful, because it might be a career change. You know?
Oh, yeah. It was, it is, and we had a great time. We had the most amazing time. We had so much fun. We hung out, and... You know, it's great to talk with like-minded people that are awake and aware and know what's really going on right now. I mean, what's really happening. It's just really exciting because, you know, when you're dealing with a lot of people that are not awake and aware, it does tend to get kind of hard, and you tend to get, you know, into the groove, you know, of the same way, like how everyone else is kind of thinking, you know, that energy. But it's just been very amazing, and to see a lot of progress with everybody, you know. It's like this is really the 2012, man, that everyone's talking about, I think.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I mean, it's you know, there's a lot happening. I mean, it's happening really fast. I mean, you got to kind of keep up on the ball. I mean, there's, you know, there's so much, even just like on my end with what I'm doing and what have you, there, you know, not including locks. Technically, when I seen the videos and stuff, and, you know, you guys busting those guys chops over in Catawba, I was actually having, if you remember, I was having trouble with my with traffic tickets and my license stuff. Because every time I turned around, I paid my bills and things like my whole crap traffic tickets, and then, you know, they were stating that I was all clear, supposedly showing that I was all free and clear on everything, and then I get in the, you know, and I double check and triple check, and they're telling me I'm okay, and then I get in the car. Next thing you know, I'm getting arrested again, and you know. So, you know, and that's where I went in and, you know, finally chatting with Jag and learning some new cranial kung fu from him. I went into the courtroom and carried out with the judge. Actually, it was the prosecutor. It was the prosecutor that was going to hang me until... I stepped up and questioned their authority and their actual rights and powers to do anything, and then got most of the charges, pretty much all the... Well, no, that was actually the one they got all the charges dropped, because they got a $100 check back. It was $100 out of, like, $900 they owed me, but it was $100, because I still got the pay stub. I took a picture of it. I actually sent a copy of it to Jag, I think. I was so excited. I was like, they gave me money back. Because in Illinois,
good,
they never do that. They'll tell you it's a service fee for them having to prosecute you and give you, you know, your freedom back. So.
Well, you know what? The cool thing is we're going to get really hot, like what you saw before, how we tackled Catawba County. Well, let's put it this way, for all you folks out there, all you listeners, we're going to be doing, Jag and I are going to be doing a lot more. We're going to be tackling on dealing with the San Diego people. San Diego, we're going to be dealing with the Catawba County people again. We're going to be asking them for their bonds and oaths and see if they even got their paperwork, which they a lot of times they do not. And, yeah, we're going to do some serious house cleaning, but this time we're not going to go half-assed now that we got all the pieces in play here. We're going to go all the way, and I'm going to be happy to do that. I'm going to be very excited to finally go all the way because, you know what, I do believe, Jaguar, we need to get paid, don't we?
Yeah, we need to get paid. In fact, speaking of getting paid, the check that Brian was talking about, his $100 check, if I remember correctly, wasn't that the Brown check that actually you were told comes from a judge's slush fund? I think that's the same check.
Yes. Yes. The Oval.
Hey, oh, you got to tell them about this. This is the best part of the story, everybody. Get off Facebook, stop tweeting, shut down your email. Listen to this. This is absolutely hilarious.
Oh yeah, and by the way, just I'm gonna connect two and nine together to that slush fund, that same account, because it turns out I don't know how many of you paid attention to news or heard, you know, what happens in Illinois, you know, to the rest of the states, but it just so happens that same slush fund account that they paid out, they used as a back end way to pay out certain debts and things like that, or money owed back. Whether they give you the whole thing back that they owe, the whole amount they owe you or not, that's a whole other story. But that same account was actually the same slush fund account the comptroller got busted stealing $63 million out of just now.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it turned out, utilizing that $63 million, she became one of the best thoroughbred horse breeders in the country.
That is crazy, man.
Because they went to her house after the fix. Actually, it was funny. They hired a brand new auditor who was going through the paperwork, and it took her a month to figure it out. So apparently some of these other people just who were supposed to be auditors and accounting and checking out their paperwork and where the money was going and so on, my thought was they were in on it too, but it just didn't make sense on how a newbie walked in and, you know, nailed this down in under a month. But when the ghetto girl in there, she started doing the accounting work, and she started trying to figure out where this extra check and huge amounts of money was going to, and traced these checks back like 15 years or something like that. She had figured out they were being tied into the girl that was the, you know, the actual comptroller for the county, and started doing a little bit more investigation and finding other checks and various items and things coming up that were going to her, and she reported it, and then they went out and investigated her property, and they got out there, they seen, like, there's actually like 35 horses, 40 horses up for auction right now because
of the money
she took and everything you're recalling, plus a $2 million house. She had a $3 million tour bus, plus $500,000 horse carriage. Yeah. And
so this was location. This happened in Illinois, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, because I heard something very similar. Also, something happening in California. Not so much about the horses, but someone got caught trying to hide the Kaffirs, like some type of Kaffirs in California. I don't know if you heard about it, but I heard it was an article that they actually got caught when they were telling everybody that, we got to do the teacher's cut and the, you know, everyone else has to do a cut and yada yada. But yet here's like millions of dollars or billions of dollars of Kaffir slush funds hanging around. And that was on the news. It made it pretty big. And this happened about maybe a few months ago, I think. I have to look for that again.
Wow.
But people are waking up, man. People are waking up and they're stepping to the plate. I mean, they're finally saying, okay, enough's enough. You know, but, you know, it has been such a great delusion that has been put over our eyes. It's been they've been really good at what they've done. I mean, we would have never thought about it. We've never, you know, but things are coming together. This is great.
Okay. Yeah, there was also another girl. who had some sort of seat position in the county next, over in DeKalb County, just right outside of us, like our neighbor, basically. She apparently embezzled $63,000 so she could have, or $630,000. It was $630,000, which also tied to that same slush account that the other girl took the 60-whatever million out of. And she had a blacktop robe cut in through the fields in the front of, like, she has this driveway that apparently came out of her house and went to the one road, to the one, they said it came out of her property, and then would hook, she only had the option to hook to the left and then go to this other road to get to wherever. So what she did was got $630,000 and swapped it around and did some juggling and got this road contract pushed through to put a paved blacktop road from the front of her house to their country club up the road.
Wow. Oh, boy.
So,
people are losing their minds.
Yeah. And they can't figure out why, you know, Illinois has the highest generation of serial killers in the country, in the nation, but, you know. People are starting.
Really? I didn't know that. I thought it was the East Coast.
No. We got that.
Oh, wow.
That's our claim to fame. We got Blago.
Wow.
And, you know.
Crazy. This is really, really, really nuts. That is just amazing information, man. I'm telling you, it's like nothing but great things are happening, and you know, and here we are in Cancun. You know, like finally,
happened.
Oh, yeah,
yeah. I don't want to hear about the
Cancun. Here in beautiful Cancun.
Yeah.
I love it here. It's beautiful. It's a really fun place, but don't come here in the summertime. It's too freaking hot. You're not going to like it. It's best to come around, I would say, October-ish on. You know, the high seasons are the best, but it's beautiful. And next week, we're going to go to Chichen Itza. And it's going to be able to witness the most amazing sunrise or sun rising over the pyramid, where you get to see the serpent crawling down the Chichen Itza pyramid stairs. So that's going to be a big deal. And I know that Jaguar talked about this 2 years ago, and here I am. I didn't think I was going to live here, though. I thought that was kind of funny. But I think maybe it's just to be here for that moment. To really experience it, and then experience the December 21st and see how that's going, because this is going to be a big year, I'm telling you, and you're going to start seeing a lot of things, and a lot of things that used to be really hard to make happen. If you're in the right alignment, everybody, things are going to come to you so quickly, you're not even going to know what's going to hit you. It's going to come together so quickly and beautifully because you're in alignment with your true mission. You know, so it's very, very exciting, you guys. I'm very happy that, you know, we're all coming together here and we're all going to see these major changes. We're coming back. Jaguar and I are back. Brian, you're back. Everyone's back. And you're really going to see some things happening. If you think the Ministry of Finance was a big deal, wait till you see a lot more people falling down, definitely in the USA arena. I think that's going to be very exciting. It's going to be a great show for everybody, you know, gaining our power back. And I think that's just going to be great. But we're going to get ready for another commercial. I still have 45 minutes, and anybody who wants to call in with a question to ask Jaguar, please do so at 347-324-3704 on freedomizerradio.com, Illuminating Mind Show. And looking forward to hearing from you. And then when I get back, if there's any questions or no, I'm going to read off some interesting news that I've come across that a friend of mine, Shelley, and I were talking about. That was absolutely interesting. We're talking about HAARP, earth changes, all that fun stuff. And I'll get back to you very soon. Take care. Be right back.
Hey, Freedom S, join me, Proof Negative. Weeknights, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific, as we fight the New World Order together. Right here on Freedomizer Radio, your exclusive home of the Proof Negative Show.
Hi folks, Joanne Moretti here, inviting you to tune in at 6 p.m. Eastern, that's 3 p.m. Pacific, Monday through Thursday, for Liberty Underground, The Moretti Report, the best 6 o'clock news on the web. Please join me, as well as my great co-host JoJo Norton and our chat moderators Lynn and Anna, as we bring you the latest news, current events, analysis, and an occasional featured guest. That's 6 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Thursday, right here on Freedomizer Radio.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you'll ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
When we open our minds to the incredible, unlimited universe, we become participants in the active flow and infinite energy of life. We begin to live a much larger experience. We become free. In the magical universe, there are no coincidences and there are no accidents. You are here. You found Freedomizer Radio. See, the Power in You is about sharing the light of who you are, exploring different points of view, different perspectives on topics for better health for your mind and your body. Join Miss Cookie and me every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 10 a.m. and Saturday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time and grow the light of who you are right here at Freedomizer Radio.
From the people that brought you the roller coaster making game and who brought you the FEMA coloring books, it's the FEMA Camp Tycoon.
That sounds cool!
Here you will have over 800 concentration camps to choose from.
Wow!
You want Vegas? 29 Palms? Jacksonville? Start with Beech Grove, Indiana, and it's all yours! You'll learn how to get people on the red, the blue, and the yellow list.
I want to be red!
I want to be blue! Buy more trains! Get HR 645 passed, but don't pay the Senate too much money. You'll need to buy gas chambers with that. Collect barcode readers, sell souvenirs, and hit the high score on collecting millions of American people, I mean, right-wing extremists. Anyway, coming soon, FEMA Camp Tycoon.
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.
Hello, this is Joanna Johnston with Illuminating Minds on FreedomizerRadio.com. I'm back and ready to kick some booty. All right. I'm so excited to be on. Finally, nothing's gotten in the way to ruin the connection here, so I'm pretty darn happy about that. However, I'm trying to figure out, let's see if we got anybody else here that might have a question. 850, you're on the air. Do you have a question?
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes. Hello?
It's Johnny.
Hey, Johnny boy. Oh, don't say hello. We're telling each other to go to low hell. It's not good. How are you doing, Johnny boy?
I'm doing cool. How are you doing, down there?
I'm doing not as cool as you, maybe. I don't know. Has it cooled off in Florida? Because we're, like, right near each other, you and I. You're in Florida, and I'm
in
the Yucatan.
Low 80s, high 70s, and everything.
Oh, that's not bad.
And also, I knew that it was your birthday the other day, so I sent that little video, that kid sing happy birthday to you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for that. That was cute. You always send me something, some kind of funny videos, man. I love it.
Yeah.
Especially your cute little cat. So how's your friend's metaphysical shop doing?
Lori, she's doing pretty cool. She had her psychic fair on it like a week and a half ago. We're busy.
Wow.
There's like any given time, there's like 40 people in the shop. You know, there's like one person was doing aura pictures, and another
mm-hmm.
person was selling like little jewelry trinkets with stones, and another person was doing Reiki healing. And
oh, man.
There was another person
That's
doing
beautiful.
Like oracle cards, you know, and there was like two or three different little readers, you know, and so that was pretty cool. And I was like helping selling stuff and answering questions for people that were wondering what the products are.
Wow,
so
that's wonderful.
Like,
I missed that. I missed that. We don't have that over here.
I thought you guys would have had some shops nearby where you're at, since everything's so spiritual.
No, not metaphysical. Not metaphysical stores. Not at all. I wish, but no. I mean, we got little shops, you know, like little souvenir shops. We got even maybe
right.
one crystal shop around here, but as far as a metaphysical store, no. I've looked everywhere. Or I haven't. I mean, we have little healing places and yoga and things like that, but no metaphysical stores. And that's what I'm dying for. So that's what I'm going to be taking full advantage of when we go to the States. I'm going to be getting a bunch of stuff there. Lots of incense. I need to stock up on my incense. For sure.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah.
And of course, that you're talking about that place you're going to where the temples are going to be located for the sunset.
Yeah, Chichen Itza.
Right. I couldn't pronounce that word. So.
Yeah, Chichen Itza pizza. No.
do you think it's going to be kind of crowded or just kind of like a few people?
Oh, it's going to be very crowded. Jaguars told me about, you know, a lot of people go there mostly in March and September for the equinoxes. And it's supposed to be a very powerful time, so people from all over the world come, and it's going to be extremely packed. And they dress up in white, like that's their dress, like they have to dress up all in white. So I thought that was pretty interesting, and it's supposed to do something. Being a very highly powerful place, your psychic abilities do enhance totally. I will tell you this right now, coming down here, because you get more pure air, and the food that you eat, it doesn't have that many chemicals in it. Like say that we went out for Indian food, and you go for chicken tacos or whatever the heck you want to eat. And I'm talking meat, okay? Meat.
Mm-hmm.
Like, by the time you're done, you come home, you're already on the, you know what I'm saying, you're in the bathroom, okay?
Oh,
you're
wow.
digesting that freaking easy. I'm not kidding. And it's a big change for my husband because he's a big meat eater. And then being in
right.
the States, you know, he had to stay there for a couple months. And it's like they don't go for a week almost. I mean, that's just how it is. Like, that's normal to them, right? And I'm like, no, it's not normal. So, of course, you have to have the colon cleanse, and you have to have all these little cleanse. But here, oh, my God, like, by the time you're done, you're walking around, you're like, oh, my God, I got to go.
Dang.
I mean, you cleanse yourself. So, you know, I've lost a lot of weight being down here. I mean, you're walking all the time. There's always something to do, you know, when it's not so hot.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of energy. And then Jeremy actually had experience seeing auras, believe it or not.
That's wild.
I know my son Hunter was walking down like just in our room, right? And his, you know, his head mm-hmm. was against this white background, and we're both looking, and I'm like, oh my God, Hunter, you got such a big aura. Like, you know, when he walked, you could see this little shadow following him, but it's like a white shadow. And then Jeremy's like, oh my God, it looks like a tracer. Like he actually saw it, and I was so excited. I started laughing. I'm like, oh my God, you can see this too. It's not just me. Oh my God, like it was like a big deal for him to see that.
Well,
so.
It's cool how Jeremy's getting more open with his third eye, you know.
Oh yeah. Yeah, and he's not even trying to. That's the funny thing. You know, he's just allowing it to happen. And I think that's the experience when, you know, you're living in a place that, you know, you got a lot of frequency, microwave frequency, all this crap going on. Like, season is going on that's affecting your energy field. Sometimes we forget how in tuned we are, and then when we go to an area that's got this serious energy going on, it's like, oh my God, you got fresh air, you're breathing in clean air, and you know all that, and then you start to realize, wow, I feel pretty good. I feel much better than I've ever felt. So what we're going to do is through the winter months, you know, if we don't get sick and everybody up there is all sick, then you know that this is not such a bad place.
Because
we got sick 4 months in a row in the States, and well, in San Diego, was absolutely horrible. So, but anyway, do you have any questions that you like to ask Jaguar at all?
I actually was calling to listen, but then you just cued me in. So.
Oh, sorry. No, I'm glad I did.
That's
it's okay. Good to have you on the call. Yeah.
Sorry that I missed you the other day. But, you know, we're supposed to get you know our appointment set up, but you know, one thing or another. So that's why I try to keep tabs with you on Facebook.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, we'll definitely, I'll definitely schedule something probably next week because things kind of been so hectic.
Right.
God, I got things I got to do for the rest of this week. Maybe, I don't know, maybe earlier tomorrow if I'm not too busy. You know, I have
okay,
my birthday
that's cool.
and all that. So maybe
right.
we can do something and
okay.
do some, yeah, psychic readings. Okay.
That's cool. Yeah, okay. Hey, Jack,
awesome.
Thanks for the info. Is he
Jack, you there?
Yes, I am. And I wanted to
okay.
say, coming on, and you were mentioning about crystals. Honestly speaking, somewhere along the line, we're going to integrate this information in because part of the Sorcerer Ninja Society is about conscious projection, and crystals work very well. So thanks for... thanks for hopping on the radio show today.
Yeah, I always hear you off and on and stuff. So you got some cool stuff you always provide. And so I also knew Drew for a while, so I'm just glad you guys are keeping up with this information about getting us about, you know, talking about the heart stuff and talking about what's going on with the government and everything. So, you know, I'm still a bit, you know,
yeah.
slow on the all that creditor stuff you guys talk about. So I just... you know, keep tabs with the metaphysical side of the house.
He's a lot like me.
Yeah, no, that's good because I'll tell you a secret trick to magic. If you can learn how to speak on a regular basis and consciously be aware of whether you're using a past or a future tense when you're speaking, that's one of the greatest things I've found about this little journey, learning how to stay in the current moment by learning how not to constantly speak in a manner that's talking about a past event or a future event while trying to be a current thing. So this is going to be
that
a
rocket. That
is a
good thing.
Yeah. 2012 is coming,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to be so much fun.
Well,
oh yeah.
Like Drew mentioned, since you're she's down there in the Yucatan area, there's some underground crystals. That probably helped Jeremy get, you know, opened up more of his awakening, you know, seeing stuff naturally, you know,
mm-hmm.
with the third eye and seeing his little son's aura around the, you know, white wall. That's total wild. That's totally wild.
Yeah. Yeah, try doing that too. Everybody, you know, listeners, do that. Have someone walk along a white wall and just relax and just kind of let your eyes relax and just, you know, let them walk by and watch. You'll see, like, this big shadow. And I'm seeing it more often now. That's the funny thing. Like, I'll be bending my knees, you know, I'll be sitting on the couch, and, you know, we'll be talking, and then I move my legs in a certain way. And all of a sudden I'm seeing, like, these little tracers, like what Jeremy was saying, like these aura things just following my leg. And I'm just like, wow. I mean, it's happening even more frequent than it's ever happened in San Diego or anywhere I've lived in, you know, in California. I'm actually, it's like I'm starting to open up. And then now here's Jeremy opening up. And I think a lot of it has to do with the food, too, that we're eating. No, we're not vegetarian, but we've been eating clean food. It's not like, you know, food that's been in the, you know, in the market for so long. We're talking like fresh food. Like we've been kind of lazy, seriously, of even cooking. Like we just, the food's so cheap here that we just go and eat it out on the street. It's that cheap. Like you're getting like a quesadilla with mushrooms for like 15 pesos. You know, that's it. It's just 15 pesos. That's nothing. That's not even, that's like maybe a dollar. if even that.
Oh, wow.
Or 13 pesos, yeah, and it fills you up. It's just that amazing. And the food, the drinks are so cheap. You know, like we fed the whole family, you know, me, him, the two little ones, not even maybe 120 pesos, which is not even maybe 50, not even how much, maybe $12. What do you think, hon?
That's
like,
cheap.
Fill us up. We go eat. The whole family eats, like in a cheap, locally, we spend maybe, what, 12 bucks? Yeah, so.
That, I mean, in the States, to get a combo meal, it's like $6 to $7 now for one person.
Oh, $6 to $7. Yeah, I know. It's absolutely, and it's all the stuff that you're putting in your mouth is chemicalized, you know, mm-hmm. and you're not going to be able to, you know what I mean, digest it for like maybe a few days. If even that.
Right.
You know?
Since things are so natural down there, have you guys thought about doing some fishing?
You know what? Jeremy doesn't like to, he doesn't like fish. That's the funny thing. He doesn't. But you want to know why? I'll tell you why. He's in the Navy, okay? So he knows what they do, what they put in the sea. You know, they go out there, they go sailing, and he says he saw so much oil and all this bunch of garbage being dumped into the sea. That it just totally, he lost his, you know, I mean, he never really got into fish, but it made him realize, I don't want to eat anything in the sea. Like, he just saw what he had to see, 13 years in the Navy. So, yeah. So, I mean, I haven't seen it, you know, so every now and then I'll have a little sushi once in a great while, but, yeah, chicken is what we stick with. Sometimes, you know, pork, very rare, though. You got to be very careful eating that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's energy in the food and the people that are cooking it. They're happy. They're in a different state of mind. So, therefore, when you eat it, you're in a different state of mind. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, since you guys are close to the temples, I'm sure there's, like, also underground crystal grids that help cleansing the earth from there as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, there's a lot of that. There's tons of it. I know my friend JC has talked about it. He's spoken about it. I haven't really seen anything. I have gone into the cenotes, which is the underground water, and it's
mm-hmm.
all clean, clear mineral water, and you got like the caverns and everything, and it's just so clean and clear. You come out feeling really good, and it also enhances your antenna. We're actually thinking about going to Cobá this weekend to jump in one of them cenotes, and then next week we're going to go to Chichen Itza, and they got cenotes as well. So, I mean, it's just, I mean, obviously we're here for that purpose, I feel, just to be engulfed in all these energies and just enjoy it, enjoy the moment here.
I hope you
now,
take pictures
cooling
for
off.
Us.
Take what?
Take some pictures for us, show the cool
oh,
places
gosh.
Down there.
I sure will. That and a lot of videos, definitely.
Okay, cool. Because
awesome.
That sounds really cool about those underwater caves and caverns and stuff. Now, I'm looking forward to see some of those pictures.
Yeah, definitely. Well, it was so nice having you on the show, Johnny. Thank you so much.
Okay,
maybe
sure.
Maybe one day we'll meet up or something.
Oh, yeah, that sounds kick-ass. Okay,
oh, yeah.
Well, I'll go.
It'd be awesome.
I'll go ahead and get off
okay,
and
take care.
And talk on.
Okay. All right, Jaguar, you there?
Yes, I am. And you know, for people
okay.
who are learning how to see auras,
mm-hmm. Yeah, go for it. You're the big time master here.
Yeah. Okay. Actually, for those who don't know, I've been teaching people how to see auras for about 25 years. I've been doing it myself for a little longer than that. So here's a nice cheap little trick. Go down to your local dollar store and find the fluorescent cardstock paper. You know, your fluorescent pinks, your fluorescent greens. Cut them into your favorite shapes, triangles, circles, whatever, and just put them around the house. Don't pay much attention to them. Then you'll begin, it will show you its color. And for some people, we used to actually put these on the back of the bathroom door because everybody knows when you're on the throne, you got a little bit of time to view. So this is one of the ways that you can help augment learning how to see auras by working with the fluorescent cardstock paper. It will show you another color. It's an easy way to introduce on that. And also, for people who really want some good, solid information, Barbara Brennan, Hands of Light, It's a book I came out, I think it was 88, 1990, somewhere around there. She's got an absolutely excellent section in there and how you can begin to learn how to see auras. And that's how I started, was Barbara Ann's Brennan book. We picked it up at a psychic shop, one of the gals I was hanging out with, and we decided, hey, let's read the chapter and go outside and practice. And sure enough, in the psychic show, we went outside, we got the book, we read the chapter, and sure enough, we could begin to see the auras off of the trees. And all we did is said, would you please show us your aura? Because we don't know what that is. And next thing you know, we could do that. So it is, and I got to tell you, if you're going to be learning how to go around the planet, your ability to use auras is an excellent way to teach you. Because here's something to think about. When you see an aura, it will have a certain feeling. You will feel something. It'll teach you something, and it also has a sound. And for what it's worth, I'm in 34 different countries, and I sat down at many a table in many a country and listened to the dinner time conversation, and it's a language I can't speak, and yet I know what they're talking about because I can read the energies and the auras. And people would ask me if I'm a mind reader. I said, no, I'm not reading minds. I'm simply watching your body energetics communicate, and it doesn't matter what the language is. The subject matter material is always going to be the same. So anybody who's got an interest in learning how to see auras, by all means, it is the easiest way. But for parents, the greatest thing about this is there's no way your kid can lie to you. In case they learn how to do the job, kids can't lie to you. That, in fact, nobody can lie to you at that point because you cannot hide the other's thought. And I actually worked for 3 years as a business partner, I guess you could say it. It was two different language groups, East Indian, Punjabi, who talk back and forth doing contracts, and I would watch them. And I don't know either languages, but I could tell when information was being withheld.
Wow. So you're really good with the visual, Like me, I'm really good with the empathic ability where I can feel if someone's holding back or if they got something under the current or even if they're talking about a happy place, I pick up like some other, areas, but it's all through feeling, whereas you're through visual. But I really need to learn that myself. I mean, I've been seeing auras for years, but it's not color. But I definitely got to give that a try with a little stock paper, like you were saying. I think that would be really helpful.
Yes, it is.
That's awesome. And a lot of people that need, auras. I mean, it's now your time to enhance your abilities. I mean, that's what it is. So if you for a long time, you're starting to, you've been kind of numb to things, and now all of a sudden, don't be surprised if you start picking up on some serious, energy, and you start really feeling things, and, all these other things are going to start coming together. It's like a part of your, they call it your DNA, being activated, or, the shifts of the planet and the solar system. It's been really, really hot. It's been affecting this planet. Supposedly HARP has, there's a lot of that going on from what I've been reading. There's been several earthquakes. I mean, I have this little earthquake alert thing, and all of Washington and California, man, rumbling, like getting ready to just, I don't know, like Mother Earth is really concentrating in those areas, especially that some things are starting, she's trying to release a lot of energy, pent-up energy. Nothing here in the Yucatan or anything, but we do have some things, like maybe in Nicaragua, there's been a little here and there. But, you're starting to see a lot of changes, and more so it's the changes within us. We're changing, so Mother Earth is changing, and it all comes together, and that's what makes everything so darn exciting. I'm loving it, and to me, you got to live in a time of excitement, and then your manifestation starts to grow. You start manifesting things left and right, and before you know it, it's like, wow, it becomes easy for you. It's not that hard. And I know Jaguar and I, we always have this tendency when we start getting excited and talking about things, what happens? We start manifesting things. I'll get off the phone with them, and then I'll be walking around or doing my own thing, and then boom, everything we were just talking about just appears. Right, Jag?
Absolutely. It's amazing. You start thinking it, and all of a sudden, bingo, it will show up. And that's one of the greatest things that we got going. It is.
Yeah, and especially for the Sorcerer Ninja, we're also going to be helping people, you know, to tap into that. And I do want to announce everybody, very exciting stuff. I don't know if I've told you guys before, maybe I have, but I have a book that's coming out. It's called Manifestation Magic for the New Earth, and it's coming out possibly in the holidays, and iUniverse is going to be pushing my book through. So I'm very excited, and it basically talks about how to be like the magical soul that you are for the new earth. And when I mean the new earth, the new shift, the 5D earth, if you want to call it, or just a way of perception. It may not be like the whole earth changes, but your whole perception certainly changes, and that's the most important thing. And it also, you know, has a lot to do with utilizing certain symbols to activate certain triggers. And that's what Jaguar and I do. We do a lot of trigger stuff, trigger work. We talk about things, we get excited, we go for the triggers that excite you the most, and then you act upon that. And that's what the book also teaches, and it teaches a lot of like a self-defense rituals that you can use to defend your aura. Also, you know, certain foods or drinks or sounds that you can listen to enhance your pineal gland. Very helpful, especially with my background in esoteric sciences for many, many years in the Kabbalah. I've learned a lot, and especially, you know, about the other worlds, you know, different types of energies, multidimensional. It's becoming the multidimensional being that we are. And we are also planning on creating another volume 2, which is the similar. It's a magic, it's a manifestation, magical book. But it's going to be mainly focusing on more on account science and holodynamics that Jaguar and I are going to create together. Is that what we're hoping to do sometime next year, early next year? I think that'd be wonderful, because that way you'll have a little book to, you know, if you can't catch up to all the blogs, and, you know, a lot of people love to have a hard copy in their hands. I know I do. You know, instead of like trying to read a book online or an e-book, it's just always nice to have a hard copy in your hand to read and look through the pages and study, you know, study everything that we're talking about. And he's got a lot of years of research on all of this stuff, such as auras, colors, what certain colors mean, words, sound, energy, especially when integrating with account science and such, when you're learning all of this. But we're looking into creating a volume 2 to the volume 1 that's going to be coming out in the holidays. So in order to understand volume 2, even though a lot of it is secure party creditor, non-adverse, and all that, you kind of have to go through volume 1 to understand the magic side of it. Because if you can't, then you're not going to understand what we're doing here. You're not going to understand the Sorcerer Ninja the Sorcerer Ninja Society, what we're doing. You got to understand that you're a soul and you are limitless being. You know, you cannot believe that you're a dead animal. Okay, that's a big deal. So you cannot believe that you're a dead animal, people. It just doesn't work that way. If you do, then you don't want to waste your time with us. Okay. So I'm very excited. Thank you so much, Jagger, for coming on the show. I'm really happy. I wish there was a little more, with some more questions going on. I guess people are, oh, you know what? I have a question for you, and we got about 15 minutes left. You ready for a question?
Absolutely.
Okay, here we go. All right, we got 250 calling in.
Hello, Drawna.
Hello.
It's Johnny.
Oh, my God, it's another Johnny. It's a Canadian Johnny.
Johnny from Savior's Birth. Johnny's a Johnny 1111.
I know who you are. I know your voice.
How are
you? How are you doing, sweetie?
Pretty
good.
Oh, my
God, I miss you.
Funny,
he's my light working buddy. He's traveled with me through, he followed me through my 2008 videos from back when Blossom Goodchild was really big, and we hung out, and we had a lot of fun things together. But
yeah,
he's also your
time.
Fellow Canadian, Jaguar.
This is good. 250, you're either on the island or outside of the Fraser Valley.
I'm actually north of the Fraser Valley near Prince George.
That would be north. That would be north of the Fraser Valley.
Yeah, quite a ways north. Quite a ways north. But, yeah, just sitting here listening over the last few minutes here, you've answered a few of my questions because I'm still having issues about trying to clear up what happened to me that day on Saviors of Earth. Do you remember that, Drew? That when I was
happened exactly?
Something attached to me. I don't like calling it an attack, but something did definitely attach something. Ever since that day, I have not been able to view auras. There's a few other things too, but
okay.
Aura issue. I have not been able to get it back ever since that day.
Really? Is it okay? Let me ask you. Hold on a second. Was it attacking your heart center?
Well, it was an emotional thing. I felt every emotion you could imagine, all instantly,
wow,
all at once, and I was on my knees. The most intense part was actually when I stood up and yelled, "Get out of here!" And when I did that, I got a vision of a shockwave leaving my body, and something sounded like something fell over in the neighbor's apartment. I don't know if I just scared the bejesus out of him or whatever, but
oh wow.
That was a long
time
ago now. That's been, 4 years since?
4 years ago. You know, I never heard about it then. I know I heard something recently about your heart situation, though. I did catch a glimpse, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, he's probably getting attacked like I was. Because, you know, a lot of us are having these heart problems, but I'm thinking it could be like some microwave technology, scalar energy, because they supposedly, like the, you know, lead or whatever that deals with these projects, they can read our energy. And then they affect us in certain ways. You know what I mean?
Yep, sorry, I was just turning the volume up here a little bit.
It's okay. It's okay.
Yeah,
but what do you think, Jaguar? What do you think it might be?
It's hard to say. I know that where you're talking about, you're up in the Prince George neighborhood. And
well, I'm not in Prince George. I'm near Prince George, about 3 hours west.
Okay.
Roughly.
Have you been keeping up to date with the Corex, the smart meters, BC Hydro, things like that?
Yeah, there's a lot of smart meters going on around here.
Okay, you could have one of those situations where you have a hypersensitivity, which is...
I know, I had a mystery nosebleed yesterday.
A mystery nosebleed?
Yeah, it just came out of nowhere. Just started bleeding, just out of nowhere.
Oh, my God. You never had that before?
No.
Wow. You know, that sounds kind of similar to Jeremy and I. When we went to Belize, Jeremy's nose was bleeding, like, really bad on the way there. I'm like, what the hell? It scared the crap out of us. Wow. And we were down in Belize.
I've been thinking there could be a lot more radiation floating around. I thought about that, but...
Oh, I know, Jagger, you're talking about that.
That's just recent, though. With this auric viewing thing and my sensitivities, I've, like I said, I haven't been able to get them back fully, and I don't know if that's completely, if that's my fault, per se, or if that's just something still hiding its way through there somewhere, attaching, latching, whatever you want to say.
Okay,
well, you
want to
know something? Oh, go ahead, Jagger.
J.C. Cannon is a radionics specialist, and he's developed the quantic electric nutrition. And I honestly believe that this is something that you can do to prevent nosebleeds from coming. I've got a couple other people I work with that get occasional nosebleeds as well. I'm not really too sure where it comes from. However, I know that once I directed him to J.C. Cannon's quantic electric nutrition, which Drew and I know about because we did it full-time together for a while, and we've been doing it part-time, but by balancing the electrical activities in the body through the ingestion of fresh foods, fruits and vegetables at very specific hours will help restabilize your system at the electrical activity level. I remember when Drew was having some pretty bad headaches, and JC by, and there enough out in the backyard was growing something she could put in her greens drink, and when she had her greens drink at precisely high noon,
within less than a month, she had full control, and she was no longer getting these headaches that were happening. It was simply because all she had to do was take the food at a certain hour. It's the combination at the timing. So I would highly recommend that JC's Quantic Electric nutrition information. That is the best way to stabilize the circuitry. And I'm pretty sure that by doing that, you'll be able to stop these intermittent nosebleeds.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too. I think that you know, it's a lot to do with, it could be, you know, the malnutrition or the fact that we're, you know, we're changing, the whole environment is changing, so our bodies are changing. But whatever it is, I mean, it really has helped me a lot. I mean, I was having kidney problems really bad. I could barely walk around because my kidneys were so horrible. And that's when JC really, really helped me. Maybe we can put some information on the Sorcerer Ninja for JC. Maybe we can do something like that, Jag.
Oh, absolutely, because this is one of the things that is quite helpful. And both Drew and I have test-driven this hardcore, and it worked exceptionally well for us, and it still works well. So I would definitely point you in that direction.
Awesome. Do you have any more questions?
Yeah, sorry.
Hey, Johnny.
Like I said, I've just, I've basically been trying to get my sensitivity level back to where it used to be. Because, I was able to pick my hand up and see my aura, just look at someone and see them. And, like, I got, it was almost like a natural instinct. It was getting so easy. Some say I was given a preview of what was coming, but I mean, if that were the case, why would it just been taken away just like that?
You know what? I'm so glad you brought that up again, because I totally had like a brain, you know, cloud. I know exactly what you're talking about. I know exactly what you're talking about, Johnny. That's another reason why I came down here. I'm in Cancun. I'm way down here. I was having some serious issues. I was really, really, like, totally tuning in when I was living in some part of California, Temecula area. It's inland, away from the city, really high energy place. And that's when, Jag and I were doing our little Quantic Electric stuff and eating a lot of raw foods. And my manifestation abilities were just kicking booty, okay? But in Washington State, where I lived for some time then, I was so freaking psychic that I was like, I had psychometry. Like, I would pick up pictures and I would remember like what happened. I would go into the past with people. I mean, I was just doing a lot of things that I haven't done. Like, I was really tuning into other people. Really good. Like, I didn't even have to try. And
yeah,
I would have a lot of like prophetic dreams. But you know what? And then I moved back down to San Diego and all this stuff. It totally went away. Like, I felt like all of my abilities are gone. And that's why I said, you know what? If anything, let's just go down to Yucatan. I need to gain my abilities back. And I spoke with my son's girlfriend, and we had a little chat down in Tulum. We're just hanging out there. And that's where all the beautiful temples are. And all of a sudden, I started zeroing in on her. It freaked me out. Like, I started reading her, everything. My whole empathic ability started coming back. But I think it has a lot to do, seriously, it could be the energies. It could be maybe, I don't know if there's a lot of chemtrails being dumped in the area that you're in, because that will definitely do that. It will cut you off. That's what Eddie told me. He said that's what it does. It keeps you from awakening or connecting with your higher source. But Jaguar knows of ways to get yourself out of that, but you got to keep your pH balance up to like a 6 or 7-ish.
I've actually been looking for ways to bring my pH balance up.
Well, there
you
go. Talk to Jag.
The pH will help you. If we technically should be 7.3 or greater.
Right.
If you hit 7, you're in the mark. And I found this with quite a few people who have extrasensory development. If they've let their environment, through food, diet, emotional sequencing, anything like that, if they drop their pH, it will feel like you've just lost your talent, so to say. It's not there. But once you drive your pH up, that will automatically help restore it, which is, again, why drinking very good water helps.
Sorry about that. I was somebody asked me a question here.
No, I was just mentioning that it changing, getting your physical body up to a pH of 7 or better will automatically help and accentuate what you're doing.
Yeah.
And baking soda. Baking soda helps, believe it or not. And
as long as
also
you can find baking
Ormond.
Soda that's aluminum-free. Sorry.
Oh, you found baking soda that's aluminum-free?
No, I said as long as you can find baking soda with no aluminum in it, like aluminum-free. It's hard.
Really? It's got aluminum in it? Oh, my God. Thank you for enlightening me on that one. I had no idea.
Yeah. Aluminum oxides.
Oh, crap.
Yeah.
I was brushing my teeth with that.
I've been extremely, extremely picky about what goes into my body lately. I was diagnosed with celiacs and told I had a gluten issue. But I tried gluten-free bread, and the stuff's like eating a leather shoe sole. So I found a GMO-free bread, and it's labeled on the bag, GMO-free. And I've started eating that and cutting out all the GMOs I can possibly cut out, and all of my symptoms
are
gone. My symptoms are gone. Celiacs.
There you go.
I
totally agree. I mean, that's another reason why we came down here. There's a bunch of crap with that stuff. It's horrible. And I was talking to Johnny, the other Johnny in Florida. I said, here, when you eat food, when you eat meat down here, it goes through your system like that day, like immediately. Like when you come home from eating it, you digest it out. That's
okay.
How fast your body moves here.
One more thing before I have to go this time. I have company here, and I don't want to keep them waiting much longer. But thank you very much, because you did answer a couple of my questions. I was wondering about how to practice getting my aura back, and I'll try that colored paper thing. But if there's anything else you can suggest to me, I want my sensitivity back. I'm sick of this. Do ChemBusters work? Have you ever done any looking into ChemBusters?
Yes. Scalar wands work. I've been working with different people for the last couple of days. They were working with the scalar wand technology.
Oh, you guys, Jaguar, I'm so sorry. I have to cut off here. I only got 1 minute left, not even that.
Okay. Thank you,
Marshall.
You're very welcome, Johnny. So wonderful to have you on. Thank you so much. And Jaguar, thank you. You're the awesome host. Awesome guest, I'm sorry, to be here. I only got 54 seconds. So hopefully you guys like the show. And be awesome to see you guys again next week as we talk more about some great information. I might even have my girlfriend Victoria on to talk more about what she's doing with the Order of Melchizedek. And, again, thanks a lot, Jaguar. And everybody, get on. SorcererNinjaSociety.ning.com. You'll see the link in the chat room. SoucerOr NinjaSociety.ning.com. And we will be there. Take care. Bye-bye.
Seconds.